जयं विश्वपादपरमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदान्तगोस्वामी महाराज शीलप्रभुपादिकी जयं नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपादपरमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती महाराज शीलप्रभुपादिकी आनंदवाड़ी वैष्णववृंदकी नामाचार्य शिलहरिदास ठाकुरकी प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदकी श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपगोपीनाथ श्यामगुंड राधागुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की ओम प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस विद असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस विद असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस विद असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस विद श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाघय चक्षुरुन्मीलनेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोदीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपमकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदाम्बिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नमामि विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसादाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिने श्री वर्षवाणी देवी दैदाया कृपाब्दये कृष्ण संबंध विज्ञान दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्रीमूर्तये दीनदारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धावसिद्धान्तधर्मान्धहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षात् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपानुगदाय ते गौराविर्भवभूमे स्वं निर्दिष्टा स जनप्रिया वैष्णवा सर्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः महावन्दनाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशास्त्विकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते जयं सुरगौपाङ्गुर्मममन्दमदीर्घदे मत्सर्वस्य पदाम्बोजौ राधापदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमादश्रीमुकुन्दरत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ ശ്രീമദ്രാമീവട്ടതസ്ഥർഷന്വേനുസ്വനേർഗോഭിർഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയസ്തുനാഹം തത്രകാർജന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി സുരേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരി പ്രിയേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദധാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ ദപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ രാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാഠോ വത്സു സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥ ഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനഗകേസരം ഹരിഗദാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകേ സജ്ജന സർപ്പദൈരഹരഃ പ്രപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ സമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച അഭയസത്വസംശുദ്ധ്യർജ്ഞാനയോഗവ്യവസ്ഥിതി ദാനം തമശ്ച യജ്ഞശ്ച സ്വാധ്യായസ്തപ ആർജവം അഹിംസാ സത്യമക്രോധം ത്യാഗശാന്തിരപൈശുനം ദയാഭൂതേഷ്വലോലുപ്തം മാർദവം ഹീരചാപലം തേജക്ഷമാതൃതിർശൗചം അദ്രോഹോ നാതിമാനിത ഭവന്തി സമ്പദം ദേവി അഭിജാതസ്യ ഭാരത. സോ Krishna talks about the divine nature, isn't it? Divine and demonic nature. The 16th chapter, Krishna begins with these three verses. Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi onwards. And those three verses talks about the divine nature. Talks about the divine nature. Now, if you look into Bhagavadam, you will see that Krishna has spoken in a little different way with Uddhava. You can see that. When Uddhava asked certain questions, that was in the 22nd or 21st or 22nd chapter, somewhere like that. Uddhava asked the questions and Krishna answered, explained certain things to Uddhava. Now, these 26 qualities, what we are talking about, which one? Abhayam, Satasam Shuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, Dhanam, Dhamam, Yajnam, Swadhyayam, Tapasa, Arjavam. Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodam, Tyagam, Shanti, Abhayashanam. Daya, Budeshu Daya, Aluliptam, Mardavam, Hri, Achabalam. Tejas, Kshama, Dhruti, Shaujam. Adroho, Adimanida. These are the 26 ones. These 26 qualities Krishna has spoken in relationship with the divine nature of a person with a divine nature. When Uddhava asked a question, Krishna explained many other qualities. You can see there in the, let's see, look at the chapter. It is in the 19th chapter. Uddhava asked a question. Yamam, Niyamam, Shamam, Dhamam, Tidiksha, Dhruti. Dhanam, Tapas, Shauryam, Satyam, Amrutam. Tyagam, Dhanam, Cheshtam, Yajnam, Dakshina. Balam, Bhagam, Labham, Hri, Shri, Sukham, Dukham. Pandita, Murkha, Panda, Ulpas, Surgam, Naragam, Ko Bandhu, Yadakrim. So, those verses, when Uddhava asked a question and Krishna answered them, explained everything there, each and every qualification. Where is the difference between the two? Difference is this, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke as the divine nature of a person who has got a divine nature in him. But while talking to Uddhava, Krishna is saying, a person who is looking for liberation, freedom from material existence, he will have these qualities. That's how Krishna puts it there. That means there are two different levels now. With Arjuna, it is a person of a good person and a bad person in that sense. Divine nature and the demonic person. But when he spoke to Uddhava, it was a completely on a different wavelength. Krishna is saying to Uddhava that a person who is aspiring for liberation, he will have these qualities, he's saying. And he lists a certain so many other qualities apart from what is spoken here. So that difference, you can notice it when you read it through those qualities there, because you may think that after reading these 26 qualities, oh, this is all I need. No, that's not enough. This 26 is only a beginning towards spiritual life. Towards spiritual life, this 26 helps. But one who looking for liberation, freedom from material life, wants to get out of this material existence, for him, Krishna is saying those things, what is spoken to Uddhava. Because Uddhava was in that stage at that moment. Isn't it? So that you will notice there. If you like, we can go through that qualification again. Because Krishna mentions there, Dandanyasa Param Dhanam, Kamastyaga Tapam Spradam, Sabhava Vijayam Shauryam, Satyam Ja Samadarshanam. Many things Krishna has spoken there in a little different way than the way it was spoken in the in this verses. So, everything that is spoken to Uddhava is very much connected with self-realization, realizing the truth. Everything that has been spoken there with Uddhava. Everything spoken to Arjuna, Krishna is saying that a person must have at least these minimum qualities in him to enter into spiritual life. Otherwise, it's impossible to come to spiritual life. We'll come to that later. But we were discussing last time when we finished the class, we were talking about this qualification, which was, we mentioned there, that the Tyagam Shanti, isn't it? Tyagam is always with Shanti. That is important thing. Never to forget that. Tyagam and Shanti, they are closely connected to each other. You can't separate them. If there is Tyagam, there will be Shanti. If there is no Tyagam, there will be no Shanti. This is the principle. So that is why Krishna is saying here that if you look into the earlier verses also, always kept it connected, these two verses, these two qualifications, Tyagam and Shanti. Here Krishna is saying Ahimsa Satyam Akrodam Tyaga Shanti Abheshanam. Tyagam Shanti Abheshanam. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, when Krishna spoke about that, also he mentioned Tyagal Shanti Anandaram, isn't it? That when is that? In that verse, which refers to, there also Krishna kept Shanti and Tyagam together. 12. Yeah, what is the beginning of that verse?
Shruti.
Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukka sudakshami sandushta sadadam, that is not that word. Sandushta sadadam yogi yadatma dhradanishchaya mayarpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta samepriya. Then if you go further, yes. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, that verse. You can see. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishushyate. Dhyanal karma phala tyagam. Tyagal shandir anandaram. There Krishna puts it very specifically. Tyagal shandi anandaram. Tyagam will be followed by shandi. Isn't it? So there it's very specific. Tyagal shandir anandaram, Krishna is saying. Tyagal shandir anandaram. Tyagam will be followed by shandi. Without tyagam, there will be no shandi. Again, in this verse also, Krishna is saying the same thing. Isn't it? Ahimsa satyam akrodham tyaga shandi abhaishunam. Tyagam shandi abhaishunam. Daya budesh aloluptam mardavam hri ajabalam. So, tyagam shandi together, always, never separated. Then, we were discussing about abhaishunam. That's what we are talking about, isn't it? Abhaishunam. Now, this abhaishunam, we have seen what it means. Abhaishunam means not to speak about others. That is paishunam. Paishunam means to talk about others. The most difficult one, isn't it? Abhaishunam means, the people ask this question, if you don't have anything to talk about others, what else do we talk about? What else is there to talk about? They don't only talk about the weather, they say. There's nothing else to talk about. So, this abhaishanam seems to be a most difficult one of all the ones mentioned there. So, Krishna says here that the abhaishanam, abhaishanam means freedom from paishanam. Paishanam means that always talking about other things in this world, not related with self-realization. Like newspaper is the best thing for abhaishanam, paishanam. Isn't it? The television and everything about in the world except yourself, the rest of the thing, isn't it? So, so Krishna is saying that giving up all that, it's a sadhana. Chanting holy name is sadhana, no doubt, but these are also sadhana, equally important. Krishna is saying if you give up all that, it is a sadhana. It is. It's a sadhana in spiritual life to give up reading newspaper, watching television, and all other things like that. They are all sadhana. Krishna is, that is what he is saying here, that abhaishanam. And so it is a yoga sadhana in the sense that if you do something, a yoga sadhana, more powerful than that is not doing something wrong. That we must never forget. So for example, suppose you're reading newspaper and you're chanting the holy name also. And instead of chanting 16 rounds, you're chanting say 25 rounds every day. Instead of that, even if you chant 16 rounds and if you don't read the newspaper, it's more powerful. That's the way it works. It's not that one side sadhana goes on, other side breaking all the rules what Krishna has enforced upon. Because the reason is this, that the chittavritti that happens due to association with all the unwanted things except related to Krishna consciousness will always cause more problems. It causes more chittavritti inside. Thought waves builds up inside. Vasana builds up inside. And then you have to wipe out that vasana, you have to do more sadhana. To get rid of that vasana, what develops inside. Because you can see, anything you associate with this world is modes of nature. Isn't it? Three modes of nature. They will get in. Once they get in, it will turn into vasana. Once the vasanas are developed, chitavritti will develop. Chitavritti means what? Chitavritti means it will turn into different forms of action. Karmam will come from that. Karmam will lead to janmam. Janmam will lead to, again, karmam. So this way, this will continue. So Krishna's point is, in order that to get that shanti inside, as much as possible, not to allow the thoughts from outside to get inside. objects outside, people outside, events outside. Not allow them to come inside. This is what Krishna is saying that. So, similarly, being situated in that shanti state, Krishna is saying here, that strength you won't get from any kind of sadhana, being situated in that peaceful state. For example, not telling lies, that strength, even if you speak the truth, you won't get it. See the point difference? Suppose you say, I always talk the truth, I always speak the truth. The strength that comes from that is less than not telling lies. Not telling lies. That's the way it works. Because not telling lies makes you stronger inside. Makes you stronger inside. Similarly, suppose you desire for something. Not desiring is more powerful than for desiring something. For desiring something. Similarly, acquiring a lot of things and giving a lot of charity is not the right thing. Not acquiring things in the first instance is more powerful than giving charity. It's always like that in spiritual life. Everything. The more we free ourselves from the bindings in this world, the more you become released from everything. But because we don't have the strength for doing that, therefore all other concessions are provided. But ideally, principle is to free yourself from the different attachments and acquired possessions and everything what we have collected ourselves in this world behind us. So similarly, Krishna says here, these things, not telling lies, not stealing others' wealth, not becoming a hindrance to others, it's more powerful than if you are performing big sacrifices, or you are doing a lot of deity worship, or you are chanting a lot of rounds. None of them will have the same strength as much as refraining from them. Refraining from doing them. Similarly, reading newspaper and getting some good news from that. Say we say something related to Krishna consciousness from the newspaper. It may not have the same effect by not reading the newspaper. Because that is paishunam. Krishna calls it as paishunam. So, one thing you can see this, if you're in a peaceful state, if you take any newspaper and look at it, you can see news hasn't changed very much. Whatever news was there 30, 40 years ago in the paper, it is still new, same news in the paper today also. There's not a big difference in there. So, only the name might have changed. Or you can say like this, just like if a dog bites a person, then it's not a news. But if a man bites a dog, it's a news. Isn't it? It's like the way it is, the news is reported. Same way. If two brothers are living peacefully together with the family and all, without any arguments and quarrels, fighting, then it's a news for the paper. But if two brothers are living together peacefully, in a nice way, as a good relationship, then it's never reported in the newspaper. Have you seen any time? But as soon as there is a family quarrel, especially among the wealthy people, well-known people, if there is some crisis inside in the family, it's all reported everywhere. Is it not? So see, look at the mind behind it. If two brothers are living together peacefully, without fight, and cooperating each other, and spiritually also helping each other, if they do that, that's never reported. But if they are fighting, they will be immediately in the newspaper. Everything will come there. So if one somebody steals something, it's a news. And somebody has killed someone, that's a news. But someone has sacrificed something, it's rarely it comes. Occasionally you will find taxi driver has handed over all the money to the owner, to the police station or something, it will come out. But that's very rare. But mostly it is other side. Isn't it? So, it's a field you express all the newspaper is a field you express all the negativities in life. All the negativities in life. So, how this has happened, it's very difficult to say because press people, the newspaper people know that that the negative news is everyone is looking for. Everybody wants to know that. Somehow or the other, they get a relief when they read that. Oh, at least I'm not suffering like that, or some negative. So this newspaper business is what Krishna calls it as Paishunam. Newspaper is a modern industry. It didn't exist in the olden times, that everybody has to know everything that's going on in the world. This didn't exist. But now, imagine how powerful the media is, isn't it? And then fighting on the name of the media, each other. So highlighting the negative things in this life is Paishunam, the negative activities. So the answer, the problem is that it will destroy your peace inside. It will destroy your peace inside. That is why Krishna is saying here, Tyagam, giving up that. That is also Tyagam. Tyagam, Shanti, Apaishanam. Then the next one is Krishna is saying there is Daya. The next quality is Daya. Daya means compassion to everybody. Compassion to everybody. Priyam. Atmaubalabhyena sarvatra. Upanishad statement is like that. That means that what we like, we expect that we do for others. And what we like and do that for others. That's the name. Daya is addressed here. You will see Daya is defined here. Daya kripa bhudeshu dukhideshu. Lot of people are in lot of distress, isn't it, in this world. So when they are in distress, showing compassion to them and talking to them in such a way, or doing things for them in such a way, that to remove their distress in life. That is Daya. To remove others' distress. Then next one is Aloluptam. Krishna says it as Aloluptam. Aloluptam, Indriyanam Vishaya Sannidho Avikriya. That is Aloluptam. Indriyanam Vishaya Sannidho Avikriya. Krishna is saying here, that means there will be so many instances in life which will actually agitate our senses. And in that case, still able to stay detached from that. That is Aloluptam. Aloluptam. Lolupada means indulgence. Aloluptam means withdrawal. In spite of all provocations in life, able to maintain yourself unaffected by the situation. That is Aloluptam. Aloluptam means able to keep yourself free from the influence of the senses and the sense objects. So, that means due to contact with the sense objects, never movement happens inside in the mind. That is called Aloluptam. There are people who are capable of that, doing that. So, that is a great divine nature. Krishna calls it like this. Because when senses, in contact with the sense objects, if they get agitated, Kshubdam, then if they don't get agitated, it is called Aloluptam. So, Lolupa means what? Lolupa means one who is always addicted to senses. That is Lolupata. Lolupata they call it. So, always sticking to the senses. Aloluptam means that if by chance something comes in life, some opportunity or some sense enjoyment opportunity comes in life, but able to receive it without ragadvesham there, without attachment and aversion, able to receive sense objects in life, because that will definitely come. It is impossible to live in this world without any sense enjoyment. Senses will always find some opportunity for sense enjoyment. In some way it will come in life. That is difficult to throw it away. But able to receive it in this way, that you don't get sticking to it, no attachment, ragam, or any hate, dvesham, towards that. In such a way, able to deal with sense objects is called Aloluptam. In other words, no speciality anywhere. That's the beauty. No speciality for anything. not particular about anything. If it is there, it's there. If it's not there, you're not particularly disturbed over that. Isn't it? So, because those things are dependent on prarabdham. Prarabdham will bring things. Sometimes good things also will come in life. There must be some good prarabdham. That's why sometimes you get a good feast once in a way. So at that time you have to take it that way. And sometimes you may not get anything for days together. That's also possible, isn't it? So, so whatever that comes, accepting it that way and accepting that way, whether it is happiness or distress, whatever it may be, he won't chase after that. He won't be chasing after that. And that is aloluptam. So I think it's clear, isn't it? That word aloluptam means. Lolubada is not there. Lolubada means sticking to something indiscriminately, thinking that, oh, I like it, I love it, these people say like that, isn't it? You shouldn't love anything like that. It's good, not good to love anything like that. Sometimes people say like that. I love the chocolate, they say. So that's that word. Aloluptam means not getting attached to anything in that way. That you can live in this world. If it's there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not there. Doesn't matter. Lolupada is not there. That means no nagam, no dvesham towards anything. Then the next one, Krishna is saying mardavam. Mardavam. Mardavam means what? Mardavam means always in a shanti state and never any cruel towards anybody in anything. Because many things you can get done through in a peaceful way. There are so many examples like that. There was one sannyasi, he left this world in 1993. Famous personality he was. And a very peaceful person. He wandered around all over in India in different temples and holy places and all that. And he understood the world in such depth that he realized that there is no point in getting upset with anybody in anything. And he lived like that. In one instance, and a young man came up to him. He was quite old at that time. And he came up to him and told him that you are talking about this jnanam, bhakti, vairagyam and things like that. What is the use, he said. This young man, you know, in his fire mood, he is saying this. People are fighting in the families. There is no peace in the family life anywhere. And between problem in the family members among themselves, there is a disagreement between parents and children, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, and all sorts of problems are going on. And between brothers also fighting in the name of property and things like that. So he said that, what is the solution, this bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, all these things, is that a solution for this problem, he said. At that time also, there was a lot of conversion happening from one religion to another, especially in the modern way of through wealth and through power and force, they were converting people from one religion to another. So he says to them, this young man says to this sannyasi, that do you have any solution for that? You go and tell them about bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, they are not going to listen. They are all getting converted from one religion to another for their own material reasons. And there is no solution to that either. Then there is dacoity, theft, murder and stealing, all these kinds of going on in the society. Is there any solution for that? He was asking this sannyasi, this young man. He said, where is your solution to that? You keep on talking about bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. Will they help all these things? Will they go away? He said. So he was speaking in a very strong tone to him, just like the politicians speak, how they speak in the same way. So this sannyasi heard everything, all his number of questions, one after the other, he was firing at him. He heard all those questions. And he very peacefully told him like this. His answer was like this. He said, as far as problems in the family is concerned, the solution is that whoever be the senior most member of the family, he has to guide the family. And whatever decisions they make, that others should follow. That is the shastram. That's the way it should be. And they are there in every family. There will be somebody. And that is up to them to solve those problems. To solve those problems. Because this is a big issue in the modern world, isn't it? You know, you have to remember this. What is today we follow in the modern society is not the Vedic system. Vedic system is different. In the modern world, what is what they call as the law that has been enforced by the modern lawmakers is accepted all over the world, and it changes everything. Like ancestral properties, when it was divided, Vedic system is different than the modern system. Now we say everything is equal, everybody has an equal share, all the brothers and sisters have an equal share in the ancestral property, isn't it? That is not Vedic. Vedic system is different. Vedic system is the only the first child, the eldest son has the right for the all the property. Because he is considered as Dharmaja. He was born out of Dharmam. Others who have come later, they are born out of Kamam. So therefore they didn't have any right for inheritance of any of this thing. Now if you enforce that law today, there will be court will fill up with the cases. There will be killing everywhere. There will be killing going on. So rules have changed, no doubt. And therefore things have also become very difficult. And we don't believe in accepting any authority anywhere, anyhow. We go by the law all the time, isn't it? So that is what he was saying to him, that there are elder members in the family who have the right to make that decision. If he gives something to the younger brother out of his goodness, that's fine. But he has no right for that, to take it from the eldest member. Eldest member has the right, but eldest member has other responsibilities with that. So there are so many things connected with that. But important point is here, he says, though if you follow that system, then there is no problem in the house, in the family. It cannot develop into problems. So it is their problem. They have to sort that out in that way. There is a system, you follow that. Now, as far as the murder and theft and stealing and all this concern, there is a system there, policing. Police has to look after that, he said. It is police's problem. It's not our problem to worry about that. How the society will stop killing each other or murder each other or loot each other. That's the society's problem. The society's employ the police department for that. They have to do that. Now, as far as converting people from one religion to another and things like that, there are responsible leaders in every religion who have to discuss these things and find a proper way on that. That's not our problem. None of our problem. He said like that. And, for example, those who are responsible for the running the mutts and those who are responsible for the different religious sects, whoever that is controlling them. So, I can't do anything about it, he said. Because he's saying here that saying this, he sat there peacefully, without undisturbed over anything, what has happened. And at that time, the young man, he got up and he started thinking, makes some sense what he's saying, isn't it? So he went away from there without saying anything after that. So after he left, this young man left, some people asked this sannyasi, Swamiji, you managed to get rid of that problem very easily, isn't it? He says to him. So he says, that the sannyasi says, my spiritual master has told me this once. He said, what is that? He says, if anybody comes to argue or fight with you, the best thing is you fall down straight away in front of them. Don't argue against or fight against each other, because only if you put the sword to fight, then it will develop into an argument. And suppose I don't have a sword in my hand, then what can I do? I have to lie down in front of them accepting that, isn't it? So, in that is Mardavam. That is what that quality Krishna is calling it as, Mardavam. We have to do this for the sake of spiritual life. That's the important principle. For our own spiritual advancement, we have to learn this, that how to protect ourselves from all the other issues of this world. If you get into argument, what will happen? It will develop into more thought waves inside. And it will not get you any solution for them, because modes of nature is working in everyone. So Krishna is saying here that as soon as you show this Mardavam, it will bring Shanti into life. And you may escape from that disturbance at least for the moment. And that is a Devi Sambhata. He says it is a Devi Sambhata. So you have saved a lot of energy also in that way. Otherwise, it can develop into war. It can develop into a war, arguments and fighting like that, isn't it? So, and the result is that you lost your time, you lost your Shanti inside. And if anything gets inside, if somebody pushes things inside like that, it will become strengthened inside. It will become powerful inside. And similar, then it develops into a big problem. So therefore, best thing is, Krishna is saying here, peacefully able to deal with people in a peaceful level. Who does this? This instruction from Krishna, Arjuna kept it inside. When Mahabharata war happened, the day Jayadratha was killed, next day Jayadratha took this vow, isn't it? The next day by evening before the sun sets, I'll kill, Arjuna took the vow that I'll kill Jayadratha. He took that vow. And if I don't kill Jayadratha, I will give up my body. That was the vow he has taken. Arjuna took the vow somehow. He took that vow. So, knowing this, the Kauravas, particularly Bhishma, Drona and Duryodhana and so many others, they decided if we can somehow delay Arjuna in getting close to Jayadratha by some means, by engaging him in some war or action, then we will escape from this, because if he doesn't kill by evening, Arjuna is going to give up the body, and that is what they were looking for. They wanted that, isn't it? So it was actually a challenge from Arjuna. So the next day, Krishna is driving the chariot and they were going towards Jayadratha. And Kauravas has created a very powerful fortress-like thing around Jayadratha, so they couldn't get closer to him. On the way, they were seeing Bhishma, Drona, Karna and so many others ready to fight with Arjuna. And they were inviting Arjuna to fight. So Arjuna's attention was getting driven in all these directions. And Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, just pay your obeisances to them and say to them that I am not coming to fight today. I am at the moment engaged in something else. And therefore, you pay your obeisances and leave them now for the moment. Because if you stay here, we will lose our purpose. Purpose is to kill Jayadratha today. So that is how Krishna took away Arjuna from fighting with Bhishma, Drona and Karna and so many others, big leaders who are present there. So that is what Krishna is talking about here, that this Mardavam necessary, when it is necessary, you have to learn how to be in a state like that, Mardavam, that simplicity. Not, to know that you have a higher goal and to operate on that principle. Operate on that principle. That is Mardavam. Then Mardavam means Mrududa, Akravirium, no Kravirium, no Krurada or cruelty inside. Then Hri, next one is Hri. Hri means shame, Lajja. Hri means Lajja. Lajja means to do something bad, feeling shy about it. Just like they say, when you give charity, you should give it in with shame, with a lajja. You have to give it in a lajja. Hriyadeyam, Upanishad says, Hriyadeyam, that with Hri you should give to others. That means, not that, it's the photographers coming to take the photos, everything. I'm giving charity, you know, so everybody should come and watch that. Everything should be given. So that is not Hri. That's not Hri. So, Hriyadheyam, Diyadheyam, Savidadheyam, says Upanishads. Hriyadheyam, Diyadheyam, Savidadheyam. Therefore, while giving anything, not to others to know, given in a way, such a way that it is given in quietly. It's done quietly. In other words, when you giving that charity, the mood should be that the person who is receiving it, he is doing me a favor by accepting Not that I'm giving you something. So that's wrong. That's what it's saying here. That Hri means that when you are giving in charity to somebody, you are happy that he is willing to accept it from you. That is the proper mood there. Lajja. Kulajana prabhavasya lajja. In Devi Mahalpyam, it mentions like that. Mother Sri Parvati, she says there that among women, she is present in the form of lajja, this Hri. They have that reservation, isn't it? Reserved nature among them is this Hri. Reserved nature among them is Hri. So, to do something wrong, shameful thing, feeling shy about it, that is lajja. To feel shy about it, that it's the wrong thing I know, so I shouldn't do that. And if I have to do it, I feel bad about it. I don't want to do that. I feel bad about it. That's all this word Hri means. And finally, Krishna is saying Achapalam. Achapalam means Asadi Prayojane Vak Pani Padadinam Avyabhara Itvatvam Kimcha. In other words, that Asadi Prayojane Vak Pani Padadinam Avyabhara Itvatvam. Otherwise, if there is no, Krishna is saying, if there is no benefit from that, then not doing it, rather controlling one's hands and legs and sitting tight, and that is achabalam, and not absorbing in that, if there is no benefit from that. Krishna is saying here, because chabalyam, achabalam means, chabalyam is the normal word, but opposite word is achabalyam, no chapalata. Chapalata means, due to false ego or due to pride, in order to impress others, engaging in activities that is called chapalyam. Engaging in such activities that is called chapalyam. Purely for the sake of impressing others and to get recognition others for some reason, whatever it may be. For that purpose, due to the pride inside, ahankaram inside, and due to the ego inside, and unnecessary things getting involved in that and doing these things. This is chapalya. This is called. Chapalya means that it's not necessary in reality for spiritual life, for spiritual advancement. So, if we look ourselves, we can see this, how it happens to us. Suppose a few people are looking at us, and then we want to impress them. We act in a particular way, to impress somebody in that way. Artificially, we develop certain mannerisms or our ego satisfaction for that, and whatever movements happens inside us at that time is chapalada, is chapalyam. That's called chapalyam. So that Krishna is saying here, if you don't have that, because many people are there like that, who don't have any showy nature, doing things in a very relaxed manner about everything, that is yoga lakshanam. That's a symptom of yoga, Krishna mentions here. So that means if you are alone and if you are in the company of other people, you are the same. You are not different. Some people in the company, they behave different, isn't it? But on your own, they will be different. So that difference shouldn't exist. Always the same nature. Always the same nature. That's the way he is. The person is like that. Never show. Always living a life of natural way, in a natural way. So that's what Krishna is saying here, achapalada. And so that is achapalam. Achapalam means that. That means he doesn't create any thought waves inside. He is natural way he is all the time. While dealing with people or on his own, he will behave in a equally the same way. He has no artificiality in his dealings with others. That is achapalata. So we have seen ahimsa, satyam, akrodham. ത്യാഗം ശാന്തി അപേക്ഷനം ദയാഭൂതേഷു അലോലുപ്തം മാർദ്ദവം ഹ്രീ അജാബലം. ദെൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വൺ, തേജക്ഷമാ ധൃതിർശൗചം മദ്രോഹോ നാതിമാനിത ഭവന്തി സമ്പദം ദേവി അഭിജാതസ്യ ഭാരത. കൃഷ്ണൻ സെയിങ് ടു അർജുന, ദിസ് തേജസ്, തേജസ് ഈസ് എൻ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വൺ. തേജസ് ഈസ് ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട്, ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് വാട്ട് തേജസ് മീൻസ്. വൺ വേർഡ് ഫോർ തേജസ് ഈസ് പ്രാഗൽഭ്യം. ആചാര്യ സ്വാമി യൂസസ് വേർഡ് പ്രാഗൽഭ്യം. പ്രാഗൽഭ്യം മീൻസ് നത്വ ഗദാദീപ്തി ക്ഷമ ആകൃഷ്ടസ്യ താടിതസ്യ വ അന്തർവിക്രിയ ഉൽപ്പത്തി ഉൽപ്പന്നാനാം വിക്രിയായാം പ്രശമനം അക്രോധ ഇതി അവോചാമ ഇത്തം ക്ഷമായം അക്രോധസ്യ. സോ തേജ പ്രാഗൽഭ്യം തത്വഗദാദീപ്തി ക്ഷമ അകൃഷ്ടസ്യ താടിതസ്യ വ അന്തർവിക്രിയ ഉൽപ്പത്തി ഉൽപ്പന്നാനാം വിക്രിയായാം പ്രശമനം. For example, he says here, Krishna is saying here that tejas, see that word tejas, teja kshama dhridir shaujam, tejas, tejas is the word. Tejas means, sometimes we say, when you see certain people, we will say, oh, he has got the tejas in him. Not charisma, don't get confused with that. In the modern world we use the word charisma, isn't it? Charisma is materialistic thing. Materialistic it is, charismatic we say about people. Charismatic. It's not charisma. Tejasa means, Tvaggadam deeptihi, he says. Tvaggada deeptihi. In other words, it does not mean that there is a illumination from his body. That's not what it means. Pragalbhyam. Pragalbhyam means that in his presence you will feel affected. You will get affected by him. Because that comes due to his strict adherence to religious principles. Because he is fixed in the truth and he behaves properly in this world, does things in the right way, never deviating from the truth, always attached to the truth, therefore, he is called Tejas. That is what it means. Not charisma. Don't get confused these two. Charismatic, you can be, so many people are there, charismatic people, listen, politicians, businessmen, sports people and all that. That's materialistic it is. Tejas is due to strictly adhering to the religious principles and always fixed on the truth and path of self-realization. Due to that, a person naturally becomes very, very steady and settled in his in spiritual status. That is called Tejas. That is called Tejas. One of the best example is this in the Mahabharatam as well as in the Bhagavatam also. What happened was that Krishna was going to see the Kauravas in the assembly. When he was going to see, Duryodhana knew this, he was coming to speak the negotiations. Emissary he was, isn't it? Pandava's representative to talk peace with the Kauravas. So Duryodhana said to everybody that Krishna is coming to talk peace with Dhritarashtra. And when he comes, we want to teach him a lesson that we don't want his peace business. We will, when he comes, nobody should get up, he said. Deliberately wanted to insult Krishna. Nobody should get up. And not only that, even if you don't have to show any kind of respect to him when he comes, he's only coming as a Pandava's representative. We don't have to look at anything. Let him be. He's only a cowherd boy. Like this, so many insulting words spoken about Krishna to bring him down and minimize his importance. In such a way, Duryodhana has already spoken to all the kings who are present in the assembly. He even told them that if anybody gets up, I will not be very pleased about that. I will definitely take action against them because a lot of kings were under him, Duryodhana. So this happened. And what happened was, Krishna walked in and the first person who got up was Duryodhana himself. That is Tejas. That is Tejas. That is Krishna's presence. Why? Because absolute truth is coming, and when he came, Krishna's strict adherence and that position, Duryodhana himself could not resist, he got up. Because when Duryodhana got up, everybody else got up. They couldn't do anything. So Duryodhana couldn't say one word about it. This is called Tejas. This is one of the best examples in the Mahabharata. That when Krishna came in, walked in, Krishna can be serious also when he wants to. He's smiling sometimes, because he smiles, isn't it? Seeing our deep ignorance inside, he's smiling at us. But with Kauravas, it was a different relationship, isn't it? Krishna was in a little serious mood at that time, that he was feeling the pressure from the, feeling the pressure means he wanted to help the Pandavas and he wanted to wipe out this whole lot from the world, the Kauravas, who were creating so much disturbances. So he was serious when he walked in. And that seriousness in Krishna and Krishna's position, naturally they couldn't resist. They all got up when Krishna walked in. Why is that? That is that word Tejas means. Tejachama dridirishavajan nadroho nadimanida. This Tejas is like that. And same thing, you will see this in all the big personalities. All the big personalities you will see. Prabhupada used to be like that. When he walked in, people will naturally feel. Devotees used to pay obeisances without being told. It was like that. A relationship like that with a person. Somehow or the other, Prabhupada's presence was enough that others used to feel in a natural way. He didn't have any wealthy or anything like that. He was not a wealthy person. He was a very poor person. But when he walked in, devotees naturally paid obeisances to him. Why? Tejas. Tejas behind it. So, and there are other instances like Vivekananda's case, you must have heard that. When he addressed this Parliament of Religions in Chicago, when he went there, when he walked, and he addressed, he was not known at all by anybody. It was mainly a Christian assembly. Christian religion was mostly represented there, to large extent the Islam, and then the Jews, and then the Buddhism. They were the ones who were represented. Nobody represented the Vedic religion there, present there. But when he walked in as a sannyasi, and he addressed them as brothers and sisters, he addressed them like that, as soon as he said that, it had such an impact on the assembly who were present there, all those who were present there. They were completely affected by that, just by saying these two words, brothers and sisters. He addressed it. If you look into his parliament, address to the Parliament of Religions, you will see. Many, many big men in the big leaders of other religious groups, they were present there. And they were completely shaken by his words, and as well as that sound, and as that personality altogether. That is a kind of Tejas inside. And he was penniless. To get inside, they wouldn't allow him to go in. So then somebody else found this sannyasi there and made all arrangements for him to go inside. He wasn't even given to go inside. But they took him inside and forcefully. And for days together, they wanted him to speak. Why? Tejas in the person. That strength coming from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature. That strength of that, that's from there. So, this, what it is actually, it is Krishna's presence coming through others. This is what it is. Krishna's presence coming through others and we experiencing that. Temporarily it's coming through some other people. Krishna's presence in them. Because they have realizations, I mean the self-realization in them. That was what it has happened to them. There are everyone, all spiritual personalities were like that. Paul Brenton mentions this in his book. He calls that book, in that book he gives Search in Secret India. If you look at that book, you will see what he says. Search in Secret India, he says. He wandered around all over, then he came to Ramana Maharshi. And he goes to see him and he comes to Maharshi at the last after seeing so many other people. He was wandering around all over Himalayas and in other places, so many different places he was wandering around. And when he comes there, he says, I had a lot of questions to ask. He was jotting down all the questions he wanted to ask about this inquiry. And he says, after I saw Maharshi, he says, all those questions melted away, he says. In his book, he says like that. All those questions melted away, he says. There was no questions after that to ask anything. Because why? In Maharshi's presence, that chittavritti has completely come to a stop. Questions means what? Chittavritti. Thought waves, isn't it? Doubts. Nature of the mind. Now, if the mind subsides or mind becomes settled, there won't be any questions also to ask. So he says there that first day I went there and sat in front of him and I couldn't ask anything on the first day. So when he came back and he says on the second day I was planning to, deliberately planning myself to ask all the questions. So there was somebody there in the ashram where Maharshi was sitting there. And Maharshi, as you know, what his dress is, only a kaubinam and one danda in the hand. That's how he used to walk, not connected with the body at all. To that extent, he was detached from the body. And as far as habits were concerned, beyond our imagination, that how he lived in this world. Not to keep any from anywhere, anything, for any purpose. So, somebody else was sitting there, and Paul Brenton has traveled a lot to get there. And when he got there, he asked him, this another person was sitting there, told Paul Brenton, you can ask whatever questions you want now because he is alone now. There's nobody there. So Paul Brenton says that at that time he says that I'm not able to ask anything, he says. I'm not able to ask any questions, he says to him like that. And he says, I've got three problems, he says, finding difficult myself to ask this question. First thing, this person is too simple for me to ask any question. He's too simple. If somebody is very simple, what will you say to him? Isn't it? First of all, his clothing. He has no clothing practically. He wore so little. And first thing, not only that, he's available all the time. 24 hours he's available. You can ask, go and ask him anything in the middle of the night, he will answer your question. Never kept anything for himself, in other words, in life. And third, he says there also, second problem he's saying that, as soon as I get closer to him, my mind is in such a state, I don't feel like asking any questions, he says. Mind feels so shanti inside, there's no more questions popping up from inside. And he says, even though he is available, even things is simple, whenever I am in his presence, I feel that he is not a person. He felt like that. He said, I am not talking to a person anymore. Some power present there in that form. I started feeling this, he said. Paul Brenton says this in his book. If you read that book, that Search in Secret India. He mentions all these things. He said, it was an unusual experience I had, he said, that I couldn't ask any questions to him because whenever I am in his presence, I feel he is not a person with whom you can talk as a person-to-person basis in an equal terms. I couldn't ask anything in an equal terms. That is tejas. This is tejas. Krishna's presence appearing in different people. In different ways. It happens to so many people. Big people, very great devotees, great jnanis, great yogis. They all have this presence, Krishna's presence in them. And that you will experience when you go closer to them. Although you could ask any questions, and you get there, you are not able to talk to them on an equal level. Because when you are asking questions, naturally, you will feel some kind of equality there, isn't it? And you feel that, oh, they are on a higher level than me, therefore I shouldn't ask any questions. You will feel like that. And that power is called tejas. And Krishna is saying here, that is my presence in them. And it is not something that you can develop. It happens due to Krishna's presence. When Krishna finds somebody qualified, Krishna is there in them at that time. His presence is there. So, that is that tejas. That's the only way we can explain this tejas word. It's not something that you can talk. So many big people had this. Great spiritual personalities. They all had this tejas. You don't get that when you see a politician. Or you will always think when he's going to put the knife. That's what you think. Or a businessman. Or that you won't come from them. Tejasa won't be there. Politician, businessman, or any other popular people in this world. It will only be the spiritual personalities who have a high degree of realization of the truth. In them, you will notice this Tejasa. Then the next one is Kshama. Krishna says Kshama. Kshama means happiness and distress will be there in life. There's nothing we can do. Prarabdham will bring accordingly, whatever has to come. So, able to tolerate that. It's another word for tidiksha. Sahanam sarva dukhanam apradigara purvagam chinda vilabarahidam sa tidiksha digatyade. So, to tolerate everything, distress, whatever way it comes, able to tolerate that and never to complain about it. Apradigara purvagam, and never feel revengeful about it to anybody. Not to take revenge. It has come, fine, accept it in that way, but not get disturbed over it inside. It requires a certain detachment from the world, otherwise it's difficult. A lot of people will give you a lot of trouble in this world in different ways. And when they come and they will give you that problem, you just have to learn how not to allow that to get in. And sahanam sarvadukhanam, and not to feel any revenge towards them, because accepting that the world is created like that, apradigara purvagam, and not to lament over it, chinda vilavarahidam, and to live peacefully within shanti, that state is called kshama. Then the next one, dhriti. Krishna calls it as dhriti. Dhriti means, in the definition here, is here, dhriti dehendriyeshu avasadam prapteshu tasya pradishedaka andakkarana vritti vrashesham yena uthambidani karanani dehacha na avasidandi. Acharya Swamiji's statement about that. Dehendriyeshu avasadam prapteshu tasya pradishedaka andakkarana vritti vrashesham yena uthambidani karanani dehacha na avasidandi. In other words, Deham means our body. Then, Indriyeshu, our senses. We will lose our control on all these things, isn't it? They will leave us one after the other. Similarly, the mind. As you get older, our control on the senses goes. Means that you can't control everything. Like you had a better control when you were young with the senses. And so the senses are leaving us, eyes, ears, and sense of, you can't hear there?
I don't know what you're saying. You don't hear anything? It's low. It's low. It should be on. It's on, is it?
It's on, no, yeah.
It's on. It is on, because it's... low impact on the mic.
Oh, okay.
It's only a problem.
It's a new mic, is it?
It's my own.
William Zahn. It's a little impact.
So, Mahendra, if you want, you can bring the chair and put it here.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, can you hear me? So, only thing we can do is to stay closer then.
Yeah, push forward.
More, yeah. If you can't hear me, then come closer, that's all I can say.
Mic is a low impact, that's why you can't get it. The other mic is...
It's not working properly.
No, the... inside that, so that thing is going in.
We'll sort it out this weekend, yeah?
Dehendriyeshu... Okay. Dehendriyeshu avasadam prapteshu tasya pradeshedaka. Krishna is saying here, that the senses, the mind, and the body, they are losing control in life.
Mm-hmm.
We lose everything one day, isn't it? We say, oh, the old man has lost it. We say like that, isn't it? He's lost it. We say, what is lost it? This one he has lost. It's got control on his mind, senses and all other things, isn't it? But dhriti means that not allowing them, actually you don't have to become old to lose it. Lot of young people have also lost it. Lot of young people have lost it. So dhriti means able to keep that mind, body, senses, everything in self-inquiry. That is called dhriti. Dhriti means able to keep all the senses, mind, intelligence, everything in self-realization, in other words. In the process of realizing the truth. That is called dhriti, which is a very big spiritual quality it is. This dhriti. And a lot of it depends on Krishna's grace. This one particular quality is dependent on Krishna's grace it is. Because whenever we lose that strength inside, spiritual strength inside, Krishna has to give it to us. Very easily we can lose it in this world, is it not? So at that time, that whenever you're feeling down in spiritual life, best thing is that be closer with people who have got that strength. That's the right thing to do. When you feel weak in the spiritual life, at that time get closer to those who have got some strength in them, or yogis or jnanis or devotees, whoever are like that, like this, and then you will get that energy back again by just buying association with people. Association with people, just like you go to, when your tank runs out, you go to the petrol station and fill the tank again, isn't it? In the same way, dhriti is something like that. Krishna's grace you're receiving through somebody or directly from Krishna's grace. And by your own cleverness, you won't get dhriti. You can't generate dhriti inside. But it comes from others who have got it. They can give you that dhriti. Dhriti can come from infection it is. It's kind of an infection from others. When you are feeling weak in your own spiritual strength, because it will always happen in life, isn't it? All the time, due to modes of nature. You don't know when you can be tamogunam sometimes. Intense tamogunam develops inside. And then you feel, oh, you're not getting anywhere in spiritual life. That is the time when you should stay closer with people who have got that strength in them. That will help. So, Krishna is saying here, avasadam. He says, that is what Ajari uses the word here, that he says that dehendriyeshu avasadam, avasadam prapteshu tasya pradeshalaya andakarana vritti vishesham yena utambhidani karnani dehachana avasidandi. That you're losing your strength, and at that time, he says here, there's only one way. Just like the battery you recharge, similarly, go and associate with the great souls, with them. And due to their association, you will get that dhriti back very soon. Without delay, you will get it back. So, in other words, suppose you have lost your control on the senses. And that control is not possible through willpower. You see? Like you can see what happened with Ajamila. He lost it, isn't it? Willpower didn't help him at that time. For that, you require another willpower, and another willpower which is more powerful than your own will. It has to come from a higher plane at that time. And that requires Krishna's grace, and that is what is called dhriti. When you feel weak spiritually, or in your senses are giving you trouble at that time, that you're finding it difficult, your own willpower, you're not able to control that. Sense enjoyment or some other distraction in life has happened, and it is taking you away from spiritual life. All your interest you are losing in spiritual life. At that time, Krishna is saying that you require a higher willpower to affect your will, to influence your own willpower won't help. And in order to do that, Krishna's grace is required, and that will come in the form of somebody who will come in life to help you at that time. And that's called dhriti. That's called Vedi. Yena, exactly that way Ajari Swamiji has spoken here. Yena uttambhidani karanani dehaja na avasidandi, he says here. That uttambhidani. Uttambhidani means that somebody who can come and inject that into you, what you have lost it temporarily. All of us lose it sometimes, isn't it? That spiritual strength inside to continue with spiritual life. Till we get settled in spiritual life, it will be like this all the time. That you require some external push from outside. And that comes from the spiritual master or from some devotees or from anis, whichever way. But whose association enthuses you again to come back to spiritual life and to remain spiritually situated. That is called dhruti. That is called dhruti. That is how it is spoken. Then the next one is called shaujam. Shaujam dvividam. Two kinds of shaujam. Shaujam means cleanliness, isn't it? So, shaujam means andaram bahyam. Inwardly, outwardly. How to keep oneself clean. External is not very difficult. It can be explained that bathing every day. That is shaujam. That is shaujam. But in the modern world, it is not like that. Bathing is not the one, isn't it? L'Oreal or whatever. If you squirt a few everywhere on the body, you are clean, they say. Because it smells nice. And then you are okay. That's not shaujam. Shaujam, what Krishna is talking about is bathing every day. If possible, twice, at least once. So, bathing every day. That's what it is called, shaujam. That's what it is called, shaujam. So, if you look into the way people bathe during Vedic times, it's interesting to see how they were bathing. They used the earth, a special earth, particularly more clay-like earth, they used for rubbing on the body, washing the body. There was no soap. That's what they were using. Now we have got all sorts of huge industry running there, isn't it? That one. And not only that, some brahmanas were very specific that the earth that was taken was that earth which was actually being pierced by the boar with their tusks. They had to, boars, they poke into the earth and they take the earth out. That earth, apparently, if you use it for washing, you get better washed by that. You get better washed by that. So, these are all external things. And while applying this earth on the body, there is prayers to chant. It is called Murtiya Suktam. Murtiya means earth. Murtiya Suktam, like Purusha Suktam, Narayana Suktam, Sri Suktam, Sri Rudram, like this, there is a prayer to chant while rubbing the body with this earth. It is called Murtiya Suktam. The Brahmanas chant Murtiya Suktam and they clean their body. They clean their body. And not only that, apart from the earth they used the dharma grass also. They put it on their head while bathing. And that was their system in the ancient times. Ancient times means it's completely now disappeared practically. Dharma is not available. And earth is also not available. That stage has come now. Even the earth is not available because land prices have gone up so much. They will say that you have to pay for it. One day it will come in packets very soon, packaged earth, be able to buy. So, they used to consider that using this durva grass, which is this durva grass, they were using for that purpose. And they say that durva, if you use that durva grass, it will solve neurotic problems. That was their Ayurvedam says, and also those who are using it, they had strong belief in that it helped to save all the neurotic problems by using durva grass in the head, rubbing that. So daily they used this durva grass. So because of that, this durva grass is very well known for that. And they say that the bad dreams you get at night, you won't have it if you use Durva grass. They rub them and they take the juice from that and apply it on their head. Durva grass. It was plenty available at one time, but now it's all disappearing. Rarely anyone goes to any of these effort to do all these things, isn't it? So practically that has become now the whole rare thing. It has become now Durva grass. So that is why. Because of this, Durva grass is glorified in the Vedam in many ways about the properties of Durva grass. And this particular Durva grass is normally seen in the mountains and the hills. That's where you will find them. And in the olden times, say about even 100 years ago or 50, 60 years ago, people will bring them and they were sold in the shops. So older people used to buy them and use it. Slowly the things got changed, and then these new things like toothpaste and the shampoos and the creams, they all came in. And when they were all packaged nicely in the beautiful bottles, in shining tops and all that, people thought, if I don't use them, what others will think? We were made to feel ashamed of using the grass and all that. And people lost a habit of going to the rivers and tanks and bathing there, because there it's easier to use. The modern bathrooms are not suited for that, because if you use all this, it will block the drain. And then you have to call a plumber. So everything, modern lifestyle completely changed, is it not? So people stopped using all that. People stopped going to tanks to bathe, rivers to bathe. They started only bathrooms, and a new lifestyle has developed altogether. So this is differences, I'm saying, how they were looking at it. So these prayers, if you read, which is addressing to the Durva grass in the Vedam, it says like this: remove all my sinful reactions in my life. What is a sinful reactions is this, that in my body there is a lot of things in disorder. Please make them in order, everything. And when I lose my strength for my nerves and my mind and body, they people used to take this Durva grass itself. This is how Durvasava Maharshi ate. That's all Durvasava ate. He won't eat anything else. Every few days, he used to take a few drops of this Durva grass juice. He used to take Durvasava's food was that. He was not interested in any other food. And taking this, and he used to pour water on his head while taking this. And while taking the bath, there is a mantra for that. It's called Akhamarshana Mantra. Akhamarshana. Akha means sin. Sinful reactions. That mantra which actually wipes out the all the sinful reactions. It's called Akhamarshana Mantra. Brahmanas used to chant that. That was a mantra they chanted while bathing in the temple tanks and the rivers and things like that. So, Akhamarshana Mantra. So, particularly they saw water as Krishna's manifestations. Water as Krishna's manifestation. And therefore, they gave a lot of importance to the water. They respected water. They had such a respect for the water when they were bathing that they say, address to the, before they start bathing, they have mantra to chant. While bathing, they have mantra to chant. And after the bathing is over, again they offer the water as to the sun god. And water's importance in life, they gave so much importance to the water. In everything, presence of Krishna, in everything. That's what they gave importance to. And they say also says here that they paid obeisances to the Varuna, Devata, in that way. And they used to, while taking the bath, they were always saying that all my sinful reactions must go away from my body. Of course, in the modern world, it is no point in saying all these things, because We don't have the time, first of all. We're too busy people, aren't we? So, only thing is that what we have to remember is, when we're talking about divine nature, these are all the conducive factors to develop that divinity in us. Otherwise, mechanically doing things are no use. It's not going to help very much, isn't it? So, you can see from this that those people who abided by all these instructions, they have a highly orderly life. Their life was so much refined as well as very structured life. That means a few hours in the morning they spent on these kind of activities. They gave importance to it. And the rishis also say that the lifestyle that the rishis have planned for the human species is a very high order. Because they realize it that in order to remain in a high consciousness, you have to have very high habits as well. You can't be a machine-like person and then develop the finer qualities in life. That's not possible. That's not possible. So you can see how the limitations have come to us in our generations, and it will be worse in the next generations. It will get worse from now on. It's all going to happen. So they gave importance to bathing. They gave importance to things like keeping the body clean, because they knew it's all closely connected with the divinity in a person. Divinity in a person. So as far as they are concerned, bathing, going to toilet, everything is very spiritual activity in that sense. And nothing is a less important thing. They are all important things. For us, when we talk about toilet, bathroom and all that, we'll think about it in a different way. It's something we have to do it and finish with it. That's the way we look at it. So here you can see they are praying to the different deities, Varuna and Dhruvasav and so many others, to bless them even while engaging in the normal routine bodily activities. So, and prayer says like this, that Krishna should appear in my hands in the form of strength, in my legs as capable of walking, the power to walk, and in my stomach as Vaishvanara to digest, and allowing my body to wipe out all the unwanted things in the body, take it away from the body. And that is how these five pranas which operates in the body, Pranabana, Samana, Udan, Vyanan, all of them, and let Krishna remain in my body in all these different positions, in different powers, in different powers. You can imagine, if all these functions are not happening properly in our body, and if we have not learned how to bring Krishna into everything, in all our daily activities, then it is not shaujam. So shaujam means being linked to self-realization and accepting Krishna's presence in all our cleaning process. All our, then it is called shaujam. That means for bathing, toilet, in everything, Krishna's presence to recognize inside this body and to live in that way. That is shaujam. Shaujam is not just washing the body or cleaning the body or bathing the body. That's not enough. Along with that, to bring all these things, at least to chant the holy name while bathing, and also evacuation in all situations, always feeling that Krishna is conducting the activity in this particular body. It is because of Krishna's presence everything gets done, isn't it? So this is called charya. Charya means our daily routine things. In all that, to connect it with Krishna somehow and to be conscious all the time that it is Krishna's presence in the body that is allowing that to happen. Whether washing the body or evacuation or breathing or digesting or anything, activity in the body. To that extent, to be conscious of that, that is called shaujam. That is called shaujam. That's the way to understand that. So every movement in the body, everything offered to Krishna in that way. And one thing you have to remember, this body, no matter how much you try to make it clean, it won't get clean. it's not possible to get this body clean, isn't it? So in that situation, the only way to clean it is to remember Krishna. If you remember Krishna, the body will get clean. Otherwise, it won't clean. By your own cleaning process, it's not going to work. That's the first thing. That is why it is spoken here, Shaujam. Shaujam is spoken here. All the internally, what we clean ourselves, Antarikam Bahim, two things Krishna mentions there. Bahim is the external one, we try to clean it. But internal cleaning is more important. Internal cleaning is more important. So, to some extent, you can externally clean, to the extent possible, isn't it? And certain things you can follow, not to eat anywhere and everywhere, in that way. Not to eat anywhere and everywhere. And not taking bath properly every day. And eating anything, whatever you like it. All those things are not good. That's what Krishna says here. That, and not washing the mouth afterwards, these things. These are all basic things Krishna is talking about. And then Krishna says that the Shaujam, Krishna saying, Shaujam Vidvividam, two kinds. Mrit Jalagradam Bahyam, with water outside. Abhyantarancha, internally, Mano Buddhyo Nirmalyam, keeping the mind and the intelligence in Nirmalada. What we say, purity is the force. That's what it is. That's where it's coming from. Purity is the force. Always the mind and the intelligence in a pure state. Mano Buddhi Nirmalyam, which means Maya Ragadi Kalushya Bhavam Evam Dividam Shaujam. That means not allowing the Ragadvesham to develop inside. Kalushyam. Kalushyam means, you can also say all the six things, isn't it? Which means Kamam, Krotham, Lobham, Moham, Madham, Matsaryam. All those things. They are all Kalushyam. So, Maya, Ragadi, Kalushyam. Not allowing Maya to enter inside. Maya means what? Maya means to accept something what is not true. Is it not? That is Maya. Actually, Maya's understanding is like that. Sri Rajari Swamiji mentions this in the Bhagavatam. That the Maya, the moment you accept body is true, you are in Maya. The moment you accept the world is true, you are in Maya. Everything is Maya particularly. The only truth is Krishna. Krishna means Atma. Soul is the only truth. Everything else is Maya. So, Maya, Ragadi, Kalushyam, Bhavam, Evam, Jivitam, Shaujam. Accepting anything in relationship with the Ragadvesham, if it creates attachment and aversion inside, that is filth, that is dirty inside. That is dirty inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. And he mentions also here that the removing this filth from inside, that is called Antarika Shaujam. Andriya Shaujam, cleaning inside. Cleaning outside is what we talked about. But cleaning inside is what Krishna is saying here, that the Manomalinyam, purity inside, that is more important for that sadhana. For that sadhana. Sadhana and Atma Vijayam, reflecting on the truth. Always able to be situated on the platform of the truth. That is the only way it can come out of it. Because you can see, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavatam in a different way. He said there, isn't it, in the 28th chapter, Kim Bhadram Kim Abhadram Va Dvaidasya Vastuna Kiyad. So, Dvaidam works like this in this world, and it creates all kinds of illusion in our head. Brahmam it creates inside us. So, to remove that Brahmam not developing inside, all the time we have to be fixed on the platform of the soul. Only then it is possible to keep that shanti inside. That's what Krishna is saying here. And then the next one is Adroho, Krishna says, isn't it? Tejasa Kshama Dhridi Shaujam. Adroho. Adroho means, it says here, Parajghamsa Bhavam Ahimsanam. Ahimsanam. Parajghamsa Bhavam Ahimsanam. Says, not giving trouble to others, basically. Not trouble to others. So many things happens in this world. What can we do about it? But to go and interfere in everything and to correct the whole world is not possible. And that will end up in this adroham, giving problem to others in some way or the other. So that is adroham. Then the next one is natimanita. Natimanita means, thinking about oneself big, and at the same time, I'm something special, this feeling inside. I'm somebody special. Not having that feeling. That is natimanita. Krishna mentions this many times, isn't it? Amanitvam, that's what it is. Amanitvam is natimanita. Natimanita is the same word which comes late earlier in the 13th chapters. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shantir, arjavam. That verse. That amanitvam is natimanita. Krishna says here. All this is saying, Krishna says, natimanita. Then Krishna is saying, bhavanti sampadam devi abhijatasya bharata. Is it not? Abhijatasya bharata. So, how many we have seen so far? 26. This is the famous 26 qualities we talk about. This is not for looking at others and seeing how many have you got. Not for that. To how many I have got, I have to look. And where is it missing? Not for judging others, only for our own. So I think all the devotees know 26, isn't it? We all know, very important, 26. It says, this is that 26. So, after saying these 26, Krishna says to Arjuna that if one has a divine nature, these qualities will be, you can see them in him, in that person. And if there is anything shortage in this 26, fill them up. That's all it is. Try to fill it up, isn't it? If you find there are faults in us, ourselves, if any of these 26, then correct them. That's all Krishna is saying here. For that, what you have to do, you require Salsangam. Salsangam is the place for that. Because in Salsangam, we can discuss all these things. Otherwise, you can't call one person and say to him that, look, you don't have all the 26, only 20. You got another 6 to get. If you tell him, he will say, you mind your own business, you go. He will say, oh, no, I got 26, you haven't got 26, he will say. So it will go in that way. That's not the idea. But in Salsangam, we have to discuss this. And whatever faults we have, we must look to ourselves. And Salsangam and association with great devotees or jnanis, that will help to develop this. Their association, sadhus association, and sarvasanga parityagi, their association, all these things will help. Above that, chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name. And if these 26 qualities will be there in a person who is regularly having Salsangam, who takes Salsangam regularly. Salsangam is a big word. Salsangam in the sense that in a very natural way it will come to a person. One who is taking Salsangam properly and in seriously. One who takes that. So, now if you think that, oh, let me cultivate one after the other, that will not work like that. These things in a natural way it will come to a person through Sadhu Sangam or Salsangam. And Salsangam, if you didn't get it, then you have to pray to Krishna as Antaryami to give that opportunity. And for that, one has to pray for that. And Krishna is saying here, and Krishna will arrange that to happen. Bhavanti sampadam devi abhijatasya bharata. Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Bhavanti sampadam devi abhijatasya bharata. He says it, isn't it? So, all these things are qualifications of a person who has got Devi Sampatta, divine nature. So, then Krishna is saying that you would like to hear about the other one, isn't it? He says. So, you can see, Bhavanti Abhayadini Edadanda. It's okay. Adroha Parajikamsa Bhava Ahimsanam Nadimanita Atyartham Manaha Adimana Saha Yasya Vidyade Saha Adimani tal bhavaha, adimanida tad abhavo nadimanida, almana പൂജ്യത അതിശയഭാവ ന അഭാവ ന ഭാവ ഇത്യർത്ഥ. ബേസിക്കലി ആചാര്യസ്വാമിജി സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് അതിമാനി തദ്ഭാവ് ദാറ്റ് ഐ ആം എ വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ ഇഫ് വൺ ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് ദാറ്റ് ബിഹേവ് നേച്ചർ ഇൻ ഹിം ഹി ഈസ് നാതിമാനിത. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ബേസിക്കലി ഇറ്റ് ഈസ്. ഐ ആം നോ ബഡി ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ഐ ആം ലൈക്ക് എനിബഡി എൽസ് ഹൂ ഇസ് ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ്. തദ്ഭാവ അതിമാനിത തത് അഭാവം, അതിമാനിത തത് അഭാവം നാതിമാനിത. ദെൻ ആത്മന പൂജ്യത അതിശയഭാവ ന അഭാവ ഇത്യർത്ഥ. ദെൻ ഹി സെയ്സ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് these people who mentions here that they have, he said almana pujyada adishaya bhava na bhava ityartha. He says that he such a person pujyada adishaya bhava, that he does not want to get worshipped or anything. This is not in his nature. He doesn't feel it, like it, that when somebody wants to give him some importance in any way, he just avoids that situation. Pujyada adishaya bhava na bhavaha ityartha. That bhavandi abhayadini edadandani sampadam abhijadasakim vishishtam sampadam devim devanam sampadam abhilaksha jatasya deva vibhutyarhasya bhavi kalyanasya ityarthahe bharata. He says here, these things what has been spoken, says to Arjuna, such a person, deva vibhudur hasya bhavi kalyanasya ityarthaha. In future, you will see in that person a lot of good things happening in him. In a natural way, it will come to him. It's not something that, if you feel that these qualities are present in a person, in a natural way, you will see that person moving forward in the spiritual path. In a natural way, it will happen, Krishna is saying here. So, after saying this, he says, Asuri Sambat, that is a demoniac nature, if that is in a person, you will see that also, Krishna is saying here. Therefore, that is why this Asuri Sambat means this demoniac nature, it's if it is there in us, it has to manifest also, isn't it? Like divine nature is manifesting, demonic nature also will manifest. So one spiritual master told his disciple, you read the Bhagavad Gita every day, he said. You read it every day. So that disciple read it few times. He asked him, what did you understand from Bhagavad Gita? So the disciple says to the guru, spiritual master, he says, when I read the 18th chapter, he said, then I started thinking Bhagavad Gita is talking about me. 18th chapter. All the other chapters, I didn't get or understand anything what Krishna is saying, he says. So what is so special about this 18th chapter? If you look in the 18th chapter, you will see. Look at the verse 28. 1828. There, Krishna is talking about a special thing there. Ayukta pragrada stabdha shadho naishkritiko lasaha vishadi dirga sutrija karta tamasamuchyade. That's that verse. 1828. Is that 28?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ayukta pragrata stabda shadho naishkritiko lasa vishadi dirga sutrija karta tamasamuchyade. That's the verse. Yeah. Why interesting that verse is, he says, when I read that verse, he says, Krishna is talking about me, he says. Karta tamasamuchyade. In other words, he says there that everything matches me, he says. It matches with my nature. This person said, he was open about it. He says to his spiritual master that everything that's spoken, karta tamasamuchyade, vishadi, always depressed, dirga sutrija. Dirga sutrija, he says. Yeah, I don't know what's the English word that.
Yeah, procrastinating, yeah. That's the word, yeah. Procrastinating. You know, this is a big problem, isn't it? Procrastination. And we will talk about things that... something in our head. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunction of the scripture, number one. Who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others, and who is lazy, always morose and procrastinating, is said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. We all have to look a little bit inward, isn't it? How much is there, the filth inside? Due to association and due to circumstances, we become like that. So Krishna is saying, so he also opened like us, he told them, that the teacher, guru, that this is my quality, what can I do? It's in me. All these things what mentioned there, he said. And they are pretty heavy, isn't it? Never consider scripture. What scripture he will say? Well, it's okay if I can get the way through. Obstinate. Materialistic, obstinate, and then cheating. And expert in insulting others. And then who is lazy? Always morose and procrastinating. He is said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. So this you will see in so many places with people in that nature. We have to look at ourselves and see what is actually our problems. And that is what Krishna is talking about. So what he found interesting was, all these qualities are associated with tamoguna. You can see, karta tamasa uchyate, he says. So a doer in goodness, passion and ignorance. This 18th chapter, when we look, we'll look at it in detail. But a doer in goodness, a doer in passion, a doer in ignorance is different. A doer in ignorance is like this. And this you will see even among the managers and among the in much higher degree. Because they have to get the job done. So they take this route. They are not in Sattvagunam. They are mostly in Tamogunam. And because they are in Tamogunam, they will react in this way. If you are a simple person, it's not very complicated. But suppose you become a manager or a higher position in management, naturally you are expected to get certain things done by the society. So then you look for these methods. Because you don't have the spiritual strength to do it. So then you take your management techniques out. And that's where all these problems come. So that's what Krishna is talking about. That. So he said there that so many things mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. And there's a good thing, Nati Manita. So he said to him, the sannyas, the guru, says to the disciple, at least you said this to me. That means at least you have that one good quality, Nati Manita. You didn't present yourself as though you have all the good qualities. Instead, you are open with me to tell me that it is matching your qualities. That itself is Nati Manita. That itself is Nati Manita. So, now, if you look into the next verse, when Krishna is talking about Asuri Sambhata, the demoniac nature, see how it goes. Dambo darpo abhimanascha.
Dambo darpo abhimanascha.
Krodham parushyam eva cha.
Krodham parushyam eva cha.
Ajnanam cha abhijadasya.
Ajnanam cha abhijadasya.
Partha sambhadam asurim.
Partha sambhadam asurim.
Dambo darpo abhimanascha.
Dambo darpo abhimanascha.
Krodham parushyam eva cha.
Krodham parushyam eva cha.
Ajnanam chabhijadasya.
Ajnanam chabhijadasya.
Partha sambhadam asurim.
Partha sambhadam asurim.
Yes. Dambam darpam abhimanam. Dambam darpam adhimanam. Krodham parushyam. Ajnanam chabhijadasya. Partha sambhadam asurim. Asurim he says here. So, Krishna put that all in that one verse, that dambam darpam adhimanam krodham bharisham ajnanam abhijadasya partha sampadam asurim. He says here, can you look at that verse and see that all that bad qualities, which one? Dambam, darpam, adhimanam, krodham, bharisham. Five of those major ones. He says the cause of all that is ajnanam. He says there. See that word? He uses the next word is ajnanam. From ajnanam comes all the other five things. Dambam, darpam, krodham, parushyam, adhimanam. These five bad things come from ajnanam chabijadasya. Krishna is saying they were born from ajnanam, avidya. From ignorance they were born. Partha sampadam asurim, he says here. So, asuri sampath or demoniac nature is mainly ajnanam, avidya, ignorance in other words. And devi sampath means knowledge. Devi sambhata means knowledge. And asuri sambhata develops into bondage. Asuri sambhata develops into bondage. Devi sambhata leads to liberation. Devi sambhata leads to liberation. So, let's look at that verse. Krishna says, Dambo darpo bhimanascha krodham parushyam evaja ajnanam chabijadasya partha Sampada Asurim. Partha Sampada Asurim. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature. O son of Partha. So, Dambam, Darpam, Abhimanam, Adhimanam, Krodham, Bharushyam. All these things are in a person because of ignorance, basically. That's why we can't. There's no point in fighting with people. Why? Because this is there. Ajnanam is there inside. Nobody has not been educated properly, spiritually in other words. And therefore all these bad things are flowing. Vasanas are there inside, it comes out. It comes out in that form. So, that's where that begins. So, we have seen here that in the last chapter, Krishna mentions there that about Shandi he has spoken, isn't it, in the last chapter. So, in the when there is Shandi, Tyaga Shandiranandaram, Krishna says earlier, and in the last chapter, Ahimsa Satyamakrodham Tyaga Shandiravaishunam. When there is Shandi, wherever it is there, that all divine nature will be there, if there is Shandi. That's the way it works. If there is Shandi in a person, the divine nature also will be there in him. That also you can see in this world, isn't it? Some people are always disturbed sometimes, and that is because of this absence of that Shandi. So, who gets this Shandi? Those who have got a goal in life. One who doesn't have any goal is always disturbed, you can see. Today, something, he gets captivated by, attracted by something. It all changes tomorrow. Something else becomes attraction. Another day something else comes in life. So, but Krishna's point is, one who has got this goal very clearly fixed in life, self-realization, escaping from the cycle of birth and death, when it is fully fixed in that way, his Shandi will be much easier in his life. Shandi to come will be a lot easier. Because his goal is very clear. One who has no clear goal, he is the one who is always false. He is always changing, isn't it? That is why in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke that very firmly. Vesayalpiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. It's the same thing. That vesayalpiya buddhi should be there. That self-realization is the goal in life. Everything else is secondary. That realization one who has got, Krishna is saying here, that his mind is one pointed. And everything what he does, the way he lives, everything will be conducive for that. Bahushakha anandascha. If he has got different goals in life, name, fame, position, power, money, all kinds of other desires inside, bahushakha anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam, he can never be in Shandi. He can never be in Shandi. But if this goal is fixed, then Shandi will be there in that person. He won't get disturbed over anything. So all yoga processes, doesn't matter jnanam, bhakti, yogam, karma, whatever it is, any yoga processes, the secret of all this is this decision inside. It's an extreme important secret that is. This what Krishna says in that second chapter. The first thing is making that decision inside. You have not come to that decision yet. That is why all this wavering going on in the mind. all the time getting disturbed over all little things in this world. World gets in and disturbs your mind. All other people gets in, disturbs the mind. Body gets in, disturbs the mind. So many problems it creates and the mind gets very disturbed. But Shanti, Krishna says, will be there if this decision you have arrived at properly. You have properly arrived at that. So, even in that state, even if you are absorbed in Vyavaharam in this world, that as soon as Vyavaharam is over, you will come back to it again. You won't stay in that Vyavaharam forever. Vyavaharam will be there. You can't come out of Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam is the nature of this world. You are here and Vyavaharam will continue. But once the Vyavaharam is finished, you will come back to this again internally. Not externally. Internally, you will come back to it. You won't lose it. Because you are anchored there, but Vyavaharam is going on outside. Whereas most of the people, what happens is, they get stuck in the Vyavaharam. And they get anchored in the Vyavaharam and then they get into trouble. If you are anchored in the Vyavaharam, Vyavaharam means transactions in this world, and then try to cultivate spiritual life, it will be very, 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 very what do they say, wishy-washy thing, wavering. It won't be very fixed. But those who are fixed in the spiritual path, for them Vyavaharam will not, as soon as Vyavaharam is over, they will come back to it again, because they know that this is their real life. There is only, as far as Krishna is concerned, only this spiritual life. There is no material life given any importance to it. Because material life means what ajnanam it is, isn't it? Material life means ajnanam, avidya it is. Therefore, it's not given any significant support from Krishna's side. Krishna always says to us that spiritual life is the real life. Material life is something that you got a body, so you have to do some vyavaharam in this world. Because the body is there. Otherwise, there is no vyavaharam needed. So, Krishna says here, that whatever they may do, if the goal is if this world, if the goal is improving our conditions in this world, then no matter how much japam you do, how much deity worship you do, whatever you do, ultimately you will go back to the world again. You will go back to the world again. And the mind will be waiting for that opportunity to finish the spiritual sadhana or whatever it is, to go back to the world. Mind is always waiting for going back to the world. It's a big thing, that shift has to happen within. So Krishna is saying here, the first step is making this decision. How many times Krishna repeats this point in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that if you haven't made that decision yet, accepted that self-realization is the goal of life, you know how many people, even after coming to spiritual life, has gone away from this decision. Their mind get attracted to so many different things, even in spiritual life. They will say going back home, back to Godhead, but even while saying that, their mind is busy, absorbed in so many improving the conditions of this world, or developing some new project, because they feel all sorts of things comes to their head. All sorts of things comes to their head. Unbelievable things they can come out with. They can come up with. They're studying Shastram also, and they're asking questions also in that way. In a similar way. You can see when the question comes, you can figure it out what state it is, the situation is. And one of the most difficult one to get over is this logeshana, that I have to change this world. Or change this world. Like, you can see so many people, so, because that inside, that decision hasn't happened to themselves. Inside them, they themselves haven't made the decision. Some people are thinking that, okay, if I get Varnashrama Dharma established in this world is going to be perfect. This world will never get perfect. It has never been perfect, it is never going to be perfect, and you cannot make it perfect. Krishna himself is saying this. So, to waste time on all these things, thinking that if I am going to create some Varnashrama institution and dharma and all that, and the whole world is going to change, it's not going to happen. That's all a waste of time at the end. It's not going to happen. That, and similarly, to think that my community I can develop, my institution will develop, this is all that logeshana coming in different forms. Because in him, he hasn't made the decision what he wants in spiritual life. If you are attached to what Krishna is saying, that this human nirdehamadyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sugalpam gurukarnadharam മയാനുകൂലേന നഭസ്വദേരിതം പുമാൻ ഭവാബ്ദ്യം നരേത് സ ആത്മഹ. ഇന്ന് ഭാഗവതം ഏകാദശസ്കന്ധം കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ ദാറ്റ് ഐ ഹാവ് ഗിവൻ യു ദിസ് ഹ്യൂമൻ ബോഡി ഫോർ വാട്ട്? ടു റിയലൈസ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത്. ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് യൂട്ടിലൈസ്ഡ് ഇറ്റ്, ഓൾ യുവർ അതർ പ്ലാൻസ് ആർ ഓൾ യൂസ്ലെസ്. ഈ സെയിങ് ദ യു ഹാവ് ലോസ്റ്റ് ഇറ്റ്, ദ ചാൻസ് യു ഹാവ് ഗോട്ട് ഇറ്റ് യു ഹാവ് ലോസ്റ്റ് ഇറ്റ്. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ വേ കൃഷ്ണ സീസ് ദാറ്റ്. കൃഷ്ണ സീസ് ഇറ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. സോ ബട്ട് വി ആർ സംസ് ഗെറ്റ് ഡിസ്ട്രാക്റ്റഡ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഗോൾ ആൻഡ് വി സ്റ്റാർട്ട് തിങ്കിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഓ ദിസ് സോ മെനി പ്രോജക്ട്സ് ടു ബി ഡൺ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. Prabhupada's told me this to do, Prabhupada's told me that to do. Like this, you can create any amount of work if you want in this world. That's not going to help. Because this decision hasn't come strongly inside, that I have to escape from here, this is the opportunity I have got, and reasonably the health is there, the mind and the body together. And if I don't utilize this chance, I lost it. Suppose I establish Varnashrama Dharmam here, what's going to happen here? Where is it going to stay, first of all? Is it going to stay? It won't stay. It will go. World is changing so fast. So many things have come and gone. So really you can see one who is serious about it, who has got the message right in their head, they will understand what Krishna is saying here. That is why when you study Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Varnasham, Krishna's Chadurvarnam, Mayasrishtam, Gunakarma Vibhagasha. That's all there, no doubt about that. But have you got the time in life to change the whole world first of all? How much time have you got? Already more than 50-60% has gone wasted in various ways. Very little time is left. And in that time you want to change the whole world. How is it going to happen? So it's all because, why is it happening? Because this decision hasn't happened inside. That the goal what Krishna has spoken about. So that is why you can see this sangalpam, which is called a mahasangalpam, that this decision inside is, you can see in the Bhagavatam also, when Sudha Goswami wanted to started talking to Shaunagadi Rishis, Shaunaga Rishis and other things. First he says to them that you have this Sangalpam inside in you. And after that he says to him, Srimad Bhagavatam. He starts saying Srimad Bhagavatam to him. How did he put it to them? You can see that in the first canto, second chapter. Dharmam, Artham, Kamam, Moksham. Dharmam, Artham, Kamam, none of them is the goal, he says. Remember that? Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa Martho Yascheha Karma Bhi. You can see that in the first canto, second chapter. That he says like this. Dharmasvanushtita Pumsam Vishwaksena Kathasuyat നോൽപാദയേദ്യതിം ശ്രമയേവഹി കേവലം ധർമ്മസ്യ അപവർഗസ്യ ന അർത്ഥോർത്ഥായോപകൽപ്പതേ അർത്ഥസ്യ ധർമ്മൈകാന്തസ്യ കാമോ ലാഭായ ഹിസ്മൃത കാമസ്യ ഇന്ദ്രിയപ്രീതി ലാഭോ ജീവേതയാവത ജീവസ്യ തത്വജിജ്ഞാസ ഹി സേസ്. സോ വെൻ ഹി സ്പോക് ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം, സുത ഗോസ്വാമി സേസ് ടു ശൗനകൃഷി ആൻഡ് അതേഴ്സ് ദാറ്റ് കാമസ്യ ഇന്ദ്രിയപ്രീതി ലാഭോ ജീവേതയാവത Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa, that Tattva Jijnyasa is that. That if it is not there, Martho Yascheha Karma Bhi, whatever your karmam, artham, all that is a waste of time. So you can see Tattva Jnanam and self-realization, knowledge of the self, is given so much importance in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna said that this Varnashrama Dharmam I have established, but he didn't talk more than that, anything. After that, he spoke that these are the qualities which generally with Brahmanas work, Kshatriya work, Vaishya work, Shudra work. But to impose that, to establish that, he didn't ask us to do that. He didn't ask us to do that. Because he knows it is not so easy to bring it in. So many leaders are coming with so many ideas about this Varnashrama Dharma. And they all seems to think that, oh, I got another project to do now. So the moment you start thinking, that means you haven't got any project till now. That's why you have got into this. That shows that the mind is working in that way. So it is in that way. So in the same way, if you have this goal, that going back to Krishna or realizing the truth as the goal, and then you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then there is some benefit with that goal inside. If you are hearing Bhagavatam, there will be benefited purely on that basis. that I need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because I want to get myself free from this material life once for all. I don't want to come back with another body again. If this decision is strong inside, and if you live, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it will help. It will help. Like the way Parikshit heard. Parikshit knew that body is going to go, isn't it? So he took that decision inside that, tell me about Krishna. Let me not come back again here. It was his mood, Parikshit's mood all the way through Bhagavatam. So therefore, all the austerities necessary, he was willing to tolerate, accept it. That is required in spiritual life. That is what Krishna is saying here. So similarly, if that decision has come very firmly inside, this Devi Sambhattu, what Krishna is talking about, will come to that person in a natural way. You see, this is how it comes. Because that decision is not there, therefore it's not coming. Because these qualities, Krishna has spoken here, they go with that decision. Because the decision is not there, and the mind is still thinking about developing the big projects and planning institution development or the changing the world and things like that, therefore the qualities don't come. And then what you do? Because you haven't got that decision inside, you get pulled by the forces of nature, material nature. Maya will play with you. Maya will play with you. Maya will engage you in some games one way or the other, and then the politics starts along with it, institutional politics, spiritual politics as they call it. It all will build up along with that. It will come. If this is fixed inside, there cannot be any room for politics in the temple. It will not happen. Because it's not fixed that way. That is our weakness. That's the weakness of the people. So, it is in that connection Krishna has spoken this 26th quality. You must know on what background Krishna has spoken this. Krishna's point is, if you have fixed up like the way he has spoken in the second chapter. Vasayalpiya buddhi egeha kurunandana. Bahushaga anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. If you are fixed up like that, Krishna says these qualities will naturally come to you. You don't have to go after them. Because nobody can go after them and get it. It's not possible. It is due to the strength of that decision that it comes to you. It comes to you. Because it's not there, then it ends up in, you have to run courses and seminars on the 26 qualities. That's all. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. It will be studied and you will keep it in the head. So that you can tell somebody else. That's all. That's all it will do, help. It won't help anything else. But if that qualities has to manifest in someone, or it has to develop in someone, Krishna says that exactly like in the Bhagavatam, when Sudha Goswami told Shaunak Rishi that with this Sankalpam, hear Bhagavatam, he said. That is why it put it in the first canto itself in the second chapter. He says, isn't it? Dharmasya abhavargasya. Na arthotayova kalpade, arthasya dharmai gandhasya, kamo labhaya hismrida, kamasya indriya preeti, labho jivedayavada, jivasya, tatva jitnyasa, na arthahascheha karmabhi. Saying this, he says, then you can see, vadandida tattvavidam, tattvam yajnanam advayam. After that he spoke that verse. You see, brahmedi, paramatmedi, bhagavanidi shabdyade. So, spiritual topics are like that. Krishna says that this is the first thing. If that decision is there, these qualities will be there. This quality will come to him. He doesn't have to endeavor for that particularly. That is important because people generally think that this is the difficulty. People read Bhagavad Gita in a different way. They found these 26 qualities. Huh, let's make a seminar on that. This is crazy. You don't do these things in spiritual life. This is all our modern mind working. Because we went to college, that's why all this problem is coming. You went to the college and you learned certain method of studying books, and you thought you can bring it to Bhagavad Gita like that. It doesn't work in Bhagavad Gita that way. And those people who are teaching these 26, they are still struggling with their 26. They have been teaching 26 for the last 10 or 15 years to others, and they are struggling with their 26. So what do you think? What's the use? That's no use, is there? No, it's no good use. So really you have to see this. That in what background Krishna is saying these things. Ajahn Swami mentions that very clearly here. He said, these things will come to a person. He doesn't have to go after them. But if you have that decision inside, if it's not there, it's never going to come, he says. It'll never come to him. You can study all seminars, courses, everything he can attend. And but still, he will never have it, he said. Why? because that decision is missing there. Vagushaha anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. And vyavasayalpmiya buddhi. That vyavasayalpmiya buddhi is power, you have to see. How powerful that is. It changes the whole setup inside a person. And that exactly what you find in the Bhagavatam also, in the beginning. That first kind of, that's why it was put in the second chapter itself, very beginning when Sudha Goswami started talking to Shaunaka Rishi and the other Rishis in Navisharanyam. He started talking that, isn't it? So important thing to realize is, these 26 qualities, do not endeavor to cultivate them. Do not endeavor to cultivate them. If that decision is inside, strong decision of self-realization, these will come following you. They'll follow you in that way. That's the way it works. So, because that person, you can see, one who has made that decision, he's not in this world to compete with somebody. He's not in this world to create agadvesham with others, which is natural, isn't it? Because he has got a higher goal. So therefore, these things cannot come into him. And that will come in a sahajam. Sahajam means in a natural way. It will come to him. In a natural way, it will come to him. That is what he is saying here. Now, if it is not like that, a man has got so many different goals in life, that means he wants recognition in the world, and he wants some sense enjoyment, and he wants some name and fame in this world. And any person who has got such things in his head, he's called Asura. He's a demon. He's a demon. He may be wearing saffron. He may be wearing anything. It doesn't matter. Wearing Krishna does never give any importance to the cloth, what you wear. Krishna is saying here, if one doesn't have this particular goal in his decision, and instead he has got so many other decision, other goals, name, fame, followers, money, and sense enjoyment, anything. There are so many various ways people act in this world. Krishna is saying here that such a person who has got any other decision in his head, you can see from a person, isn't it, what his decision is. You can see, observe people, you will see what their goal is. By associating with people, you will get to know them, what their final goal is. So anyone who has got any different goal than this, Krishna says, is an asura. He is an asura. Krishna calls it as asura. Because asura, we have some false understanding about asura, isn't it? The films and the movies have given us an impression about asura in a different way. Especially all the, Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam, Ramayanam and Puranas, all, when they come in the television, asura is normally depicted as got big teeth going either way, or has got some hair. We have some false impression about asuras. Sometimes asuras are very good looking. We think about them in a bad way because film has projected like that to us, and we think that the people, divine nature, has always looking very simple, all wearing dhotis. We are thinking like that, isn't it? Somebody who are wearing dhotis, also big demons are there among the dhotiwalas also. So it's not that dhoti decides whether you are a demon or demonia. Of course, for the world outside, you have to show something, but that's another thing. World accepts only that way. But dhoti doesn't make a person divine. What makes is this consciousness. So it is because of this only that we are got this false impression like this. Asura means very bad looking, like a demoniac way he looks. His hair is all big and or something like that. Whereas devotee means he's got all tilaks over and and he's wearing a sacred thread or he's wearing dhoti. And he's always chanting, so he must be a devotee. This is not the way Krishna is seeing that. Krishna is explaining to us here that people like Ravana and all that, some of them are very good looking. They're very good looking. Remember what Hiranyakashipu said in the Bhagavatam? Jagur Mahendrasanam Ojanasthidam Vishwavasasthumbaru Aspadadaya, he says there. When Hiranyakashipu, after his penances, Lord Brahma came there and from his water pot, Kamandalu, he took the water he has brought from the heavenly planets and sprinkled it on him. his body, which was like bony, very bone, purely bones only were there. From there, Hiranyakashipu got up. And when he got up, his body, when he looked at it, Vajrasamhanayo Yuva, Bhagavadam says. As though so good looking he was, like diamond, he says. Shining like diamond and strong like that. Vajrasamhanayo Yuva. Whereas our impression about Hiranyakashipu is completely the opposite. Isn't it? We think Hiranyakashipu was a very ugly looking person. Hiranyakashipu was not ugly looking. He was more good looking than any of the film stars what we are today. That who, after all the makeup, this was without any makeup. Hiranyakashipu looked better than others. He was so beautiful, Hiranyakashipu. The youth and the strength and the bodily features and that personality himself about, he says, Srinarada Maharshi says, I felt like paying obeisances to him. When he saw that. Narada Maharshi says this. And when he walked into the heavenly planets, all the heavenly planets, Apsaras women started dancing, welcoming him, seeing his beauty. He was so beautiful. Indra and others ran away from there. They couldn't stay anymore in the heavenly planet, seeing him walking inside. And that nature is what Krishna is saying here. Asura and but what? Problem was what? Problem is asuric nature. The nature was asuric. Externally looked like a great personality. So that asuri sambandh is what Krishna is going to talk about from the fourth verse onwards. Dambam darpobhimanascha krodham parushyam evacha ajnanam chabijadasya partha sampadam asurim partha sampadam asurim. So we'll have a short break then. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakai dava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam balivada purnamrita swadhanam sarvatna savanam varam jayade shri krishna sankirtanam namna magari bhuda nija sarva shakti Ama janmani janmani shvai bhavadar bhakti rahi dugitvai Ay nandada nuja kinkaram padidama amshame bhavambudau Krubayata pada pangajastida duli sadrasham nichindaya Namgala shudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulagayar vichiram chadavavu tavannama grahane bhavishyadim Yugayam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahename Ashleshyava Padaradam Pinishtumam Darshanam Marmahadam Karoduva Yathadadava Vidadadulam Nada Matpranamatha Sunayevanabaram Dambodarpodimanascham Krodham parushyame vacha ajnanam cha bijadasya partha sampadam asurim dambham dharma dvajitvam darpam dhanasvajanadi nimittam ulsega adhimanaha purvoktam krodhacha parushyame vacha parushavajanam yadhakanam chakshuman virubam rupavan hinabhijanam uttamabhijanam ityadi. Ajnanam cha aviveka jnanam mithyapratyayam kartavya akartavyadi vishayam abhijadasya partha kim abhijadasya iti aha asuranam sambad asuri tam abhijadasya iti arthaha. So here in this demoniac nature, asuri subhavam, asuric nature, Krishna has not expanded it very much. It's not expanded much because it is not to be expanded a lot. There's no point in expanding. And Krishna says here that dambham dharma dujitvam darpam dhana svajanadi nimittam ulseka adhimanaha puroptaha. So one doesn't have any pride in him. Dambham. Dambham means that, pridelessness, isn't it? Pridelessness. Immediately, if it doesn't have it, then all the other Devi Sambhat will come to him. Because only he has spoken here to in this understanding that Krishna doesn't enjoy talking about this Asuri Sambhat too much. What's the point in expanding on the Asuri Sambhat? It makes no sense also, isn't it? Asuri Sambhat is coming from Ajnanam. Ajnanam, nobody, it's unlimited it is. That's the nature of Ajnanam. Avidya is unlimited. That is the reason why Krishna has not expanded it so much and only spoken what is very minimum necessary. He said, Dambaha, he said, Dambham, isn't it, Dambham. Dambham means that always trying to show off in the world. I'm something to show off to the world. And normally if there is a little wealth in the hand, Dambham will come. If there is some wealth in the hand, Dambham will come. So, there are so many examples spoken about that. Even a frog, when it got 50 P coin, the frog took it to its hole and kept it there and came out and put both his hands on like this and stood and looking at the world. Even the frog felt like that. Meanwhile, an elephant came that way. So the frog thought that the elephant will pay respects to the frog because he has got money. Elephant didn't have that money, isn't it? Similarly, but the elephant didn't care. So the frog wanted to ask the elephant, why you're not respecting me? Because I got so much money with me. But the elephant didn't care. The elephant just put its feet on and the frog was finished. It was gone. That's it. So, Dambham, you can see, Dambham is vanity. Kind of vanity inside, isn't it? So, you can see this in the modern world a lot more than before. If you have observed little time before. In the past, if you go to the smaller towns in India, small towns, not big cities, smaller towns, even in big cities, most of the shops were grocery shops, vegetable shops, sometimes some cloth shops. This is how it used to be. You go to any reasonably big town now today, it's all jewelry shops. Everywhere it is jewelry shop. One jewelry, another jewelry shop, one after the other. And practically you can see these shops, vegetable shops and groceries even, they are quietly disappearing. They are going away. And the whole system is changing. Whole system is changing. Reason is this, that's it. And where did all this gold come from? Where did all this gold come from? There was, because there is some new rules now. India is the place where the gold, how much gold has been collected by the people. They find more shelter in the gold than Krishna. That's how it is now. Gold is everything. Without gold. And there is, government has been trying to, in the recent times, they have been trying to control the flow of gold because of this craziness for the gold, people's craziness. They are finding it difficult to resist that. So they brought in some new rules and regulations. And even yesterday there was news in the paper that all the flights that come from the Middle East, because apparently the gold is cheaper there or something, and government has fixed a quota, you can bring so much money, so much gold with you. So what the jewelers have done, the jewelers have found that they pay the cost of the flight and they pay you for the gold, whatever you paid there, plus an additional 50,000 rupees for you. If you bring so much kilos of gold. And daily, in Cochin airport alone, 300 kilos of gold is coming in. Every day, 300 kilos of gold is coming in from the Middle East. So this is happening all over. What I'm saying is that gold has taken over everything in life. It's not anymore the it just never used to be. You can see this shift in the people's that attachment to this opulence and this kind of wealth and things like that. That is coming from this Dambham. This creates Dambham in people's mind, that they feel that the wealth is I am wealthy, I've got money behind me. This and the pride and that vanity and that strength from that. So, and does he need all this gold? What for? Does he need, what is he going to do with all this? So, the nature and that attachment, asakti, what Krishna calls it as, isn't it? And people exploit that. People exploit that. And that alone creates dambham inside, creates dambham inside that. So, Krishna says here that if you have a lot of gold in your body, you feel that you are something respected in the society or some that vanity. So the businessmen also, they take advantage of that, isn't it? They know this, that your nature is like that. You know when cigarette was invented, first time when they invented cigarette, nobody thought that cigarettes will sell in the world, you see. And people didn't know what to do with that. They had no such inclinations, isn't it? So when they introduced that, everybody said, you are really crazy, the person who invented the cigarette. He said that, who is going to keep this lighted and keep it in the mouth like this and walk around it that way? And allowing the smoke to come through the nose and through the mouth, it comes out like that. So it will never sell, they said. So he said, the person who has found out and he wanted to market, he said, you don't know these ordinary people, he said, they're all fools, he said. All of them are fools, because I'll show it to you, he said. And what he did was, he caught hold of some famous people first, celebrities. He caught hold of them, cinema stars and sports personalities and all, and told them and took some photographs, them smoking. And they put them in the paper. He smoked this cigarette, like that. And as soon as it was advertised in that way, it has become popular. And people started buying that. And when this advertisement came and they started smoking, or the photographs appeared in the paper, then immediately people, intelligent people like us, all start buying cigarettes. And so that is dambham. That is exploitation of dambham it is. The dambham inside, and when the world, some big people are doing, I should have the same thing. He's smoking big money, he's smoking cigarettes. And that particular brand, you will see this all the time. Some people say, I only smoke Dunhill, they say. Or what's a Rothman, so some famous brand like that. Cheaper cigarettes they don't. And then they will look for profit from that through the duty-free and all other things. Similarly, alcohol also, in the same way. They will only drink the famous brands, whatever is famous at the moment, I don't know. But those things are this dambham. This is all an expression of that dambham inside. Expression of the dambham inside. That, or sometimes they say, I drive Mercedes, or I drive BMW, or some famous brand, higher... expensive car, I only drive that. This is another sign of dambham. It's all dambham in different forms exploited by the business, by the not satisfied with simple things in life. So that is what Krishna is saying, it's an asuric nature. It is an asuric nature. Dambham dharpobhi manascha krodham parushyameveja ajnanam chabijadasya partha sambhadam asuri. From ajnanam is born all these things. So if you have this asuri sambhata, demoniac nature inside, you will get exploited in this world by others. You will see, you will get exploited by others in this world. So, so if you lift people a little bit and they will do anything, and that is asuri sambhata, they'll do anything. So Krishna says here that you got to get married. There's no question people want to get married. But do you have all this gold is necessary to get married? Is it necessary? But that is the way the society has created that. Like, so much gold has to go while getting married. And they even discuss the marriage based on the gold. So you start thinking, it's gold getting married. Or princess getting married. It's a horrible world that is being created by the society. And Krishna is saying, all this concept has come from ajnanam. Ajnanam chabijadasya, Krishna is saying here. So, all our economy is dependent on all these things, isn't it? This thing called gold. So, and our seriousness, we are particular about that. It's different in different countries to some extent, but gold has a very powerful influence in our daily life in that way. It's a status thing also, is it not? You can see how the attachment to the gold eventually exploits people. They become completely victimized by that, isn't it? And if you ask the question, to live in this world, do I need all these things? You don't. You don't. That's the answer. There's no answer. So, dambham, this word dambham, gets expressed in different ways in life. Expressed in different ways in this life, isn't it? So, in some places through the goal, in some places through other means, like the car you drive, the position you hold in the society, or various ways that that comes out in some way or the other, isn't it? So that is what dambham Krishna is saying here, that this dambham, Vinoba Bhave used to say about this in a very nice way, used to make fun of that. He used to say that this dambham creates a lot of trouble, he said, because first of all, he says that they go to the sea, go deep underneath the sea and pick up this pearl from there and bring it out. And then they go underground in the earth, deep down, and bring this gold from there. And they make it in different forms and shapes, and they hang it up on their ears and neck and all other places in the body, and they say it's all looking very beautiful. He says like that. He says they're making fun of them, those who are after the girl. So he says there that because of their pride and dambham in them, that they will try to hang this gold wherever it's possible on the body, and they'll sometimes, you see, they connect it from one place to another. You have seen that? So in the villages, that it's a big technology going on there, that they connect it also, this gold, a piece of gold connecting from one sense to another sense. So Vinoba Bhave is asking, what's that connection for? So he's asking all these questions there. So this is called dambham. Dambham it is. Similarly, in many other issues also, if it is useful for the body to maintain in this world, it's understandable. But no benefit from that. If there is no gold also, this body will remain in this world, isn't it? And in your imagination, you have created something that gold is important. If I don't, and particularly among women, it is a very difficult thing that after marriage, if they don't have so much gold, then this will be discussed among the family members. In every community it is there. In India, I know that. I don't know about the West so much, but in India that madness is there. They will discuss in detail how much jewelry was handed over or given as a dowry or whatever way it has come, and how much gold has she got. And it seems to be that is the biggest criteria in the marriage discussions and negotiations, everything. So, here, Krishna is saying here that this happens, why? Because there is dambham inside. Dambham is the cause behind it. So, this dambham is a asurik vasana. It is asuri vasana. And that is why Krishna gave the top priority to that. The first one itself is dambham, he says. Dambham, Duryodhana also, you can see that. Duryodhana had this problem, big problem. Krishna went to the Duryodhana and told him, we don't need this war. Give half to Pandavas. We can solve this problem. He won't agree. Why? Dambham. Dambham inside. He knew, Duryodhana knew that it's Pandavas were the right heir for the property, isn't it, for the kingdom. So Krishna went to him and told him that at least give half of it to the Pandavas so we can avoid this war. he said to him. And he won't give it. Then he said afterwards that you give 5 villages. He said no. And then he says 5 houses. He said no. And finally he said 1 house at least for them to live. He said no. What did Duryodhana say? I won't even give place to poke 1 needle on the land. Even that much space I won't give it to them. That's dambam. That's purely dambam it is. How that dambam in that person, in Duryodhana. So, so here, Krishna is saying here, that Krishna was happy about that. That's what he wanted actually, the answer. Because now he's got a real reason to create the war. Isn't it? So, because why? All because of dambam, Duryodhana's dambam. Isn't it? So, and Vidura says about this, that this Dhritarashtra, to Dhritarashtra he says to him, that this is not your son, this who, Duryodhana, is not your son. He is the cancer of the Kauravas, he said, Kuruvamsham. The Kauravas, he is the cancer, he says, and you cannot treat this cancer, he says to him. Similarly, this Dambham is a cancer in us. And body's cancer, you can do something for some time. You may not cure it, but you can do something about it. But once the dambam gets in, it is very, very difficult to get out of it, get rid of that from inside. So, many things what we do in this world is because of this dambam. Because of this dambam. So, not for the sake of filling the belly, but due to dambam. And as far as filling the belly is concerned, the argument is you didn't have to be working so hard in this world. You can see that how dambam has infuriates the whole society. It spreads all around, isn't it? In the modern society, it's very, very strong. So basically, it is a mental disease also, this dambam. That there may, because you can see that, say for example, in the many of the jobs in the modern world is structured like that, working for very long hours and for even sometimes during the weekend. They pay you more, but they expect you to work. If you tell them, look, I want to work only 5 days, I want to work only 8 hours a day, there is no job for you. They will create such a situation that to whip up your dambam, to whip it up, they will give you, offer more money to you. And once that money comes in, extra money, then this dambam builds up inside. Dambam builds up inside. Dambam is a very powerful thing, dambam. Dambam you can see in all levels. Even in the spiritual hierarchy also you will see this. One sannyasi has no money, because nobody is caring for him. Another sannyasi has got millions of dollars sitting in the bank, so everybody is after him. Why? Why is that? What sannyasin is that? Also, the same principles what is in the world, outside world, is driving the spiritual world also. So what has changed? Only the color of the cloth has changed. Everything else remains the same. Dambam darpo bhimanascha. Krishna is saying that dambam is capable of doing all these things. It will attract people like this, in this way. People get attracted to all these things. So that's what he's saying here. Then dambam, and dambam, dambam Krishna is saying here that when this situation develops, that, you know, they say money breeds money, isn't it? They say that, business people all say like that, isn't it? So the same way, the industrialists, the businessmen, they create this situation in us and feeds this, uses our dambam, because we have dambam inside, and they'll offer this extra cash and this, that, and then you will go and work like that, and then you will tell others that I am on so many K, I am earning every year, and whatever the way they put it in the modern world. So, the Krishna is saying here, in order to get that dambam fulfilled, he is willing to do whole life work like this without any control over it, and he becomes victimized by that. And then when so much money comes, then what happens? Then he has to buy things what he doesn't need. You can see this happening all the time, isn't it? Lot of money in the hand, don't know what to do with it. Then you're looking what to do with this money. Then every year change the car model, and every year new electronic things, whatever that's coming into the market, buy them, and then going on some spiritual holidays somewhere, things like that, all sorts of things will come from. So Krishna is saying here that only for the sake of that pride in that, fulfill that dambham, they will do so many things in this world. They'll do so. So if you have that dambham, people who are competitively inclined, they will exploit that. They'll create competition inside, and they'll exploit your dambham inside. Dambham, then Krishna is saying darpam. Dambham and darpam, there is not a big difference. Dambham and darpam is, there is not a big difference. Because he sees here, he says, dambho dharma dvijitvam, he says. dharma dvijitvam, darpam dhana svajanadi nimittam ulsekaha, he says. So, dambham, dharma dvijitvam, dambaha. And that means that if you are posing yourself as somebody important, you are perfectly situated in life, in everything, householder or a wealthy person or any position, whatever it may be, and if you're feeling pride about that, that is dambham. That is dambham. That dambham can be there in anyone. It can be there in a sannyasi also. I am a sannyasi, so I am special. That is dambham. That is dambham. I am a householder. That's dambham. Even a brahmachari can have dambham. I am a brahmachari. That's a dambham. That's dambham. So ahankaram inside, manifesting in that way, that is called dambham. That is called dambham. So according to the increasing or decreasing of that dambham, we will present ourselves in this world in different ways, and when you exhibit that to the world, it's called a dambham, and it will give us trouble according to that up and down. So you can see this dambham, it affects everyone. You know, Yudhishthira Maharaj had dambham. What was his dambham? I am very fixed in truth, fixed in dharma. That was his dambham. That was his dambham. Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was a devotee, and Krishna's one of his closest friends, he had dambham in him. And therefore, he had that dambham. And because he got a little bit attached to that dambham in that way, and that gave him trouble. Because of that, gave him trouble. And normally, he should have lived a peaceful life. But didn't happen because this dambham can turn even your spiritual life into a weight on you, become a weight on you. And that is why Krishna is saying here that only when there is knowledge, proper knowledge, self-realization, only then dharmam will come. Dharmam will come. Yudhishthira Maharaj was called Dharmautra, isn't it? Dharmautra was his name. So, wherever there is no proper knowledge, which Yudhishthira didn't have at that time, and that is why there was no shanti inside, and yogasthiti, yoga state was not existing. So, that is why it says here, darpam dhana svajanadi nimittam ulsekaha. In the Bhashyam it says, dhana svajanadi nimittam ulsekaha. In other words, that this dhanam, svajanam, these two things, you can see in Yudhishthira Maharaj's case, what happened was that dambham put him into difficulties, isn't it? Put him into difficulties in so many instances. You could see that. When Krishna told Yudhishthira to tell the lie, Yudhishthira said, I don't tell lies. To Krishna, he's saying this too. He's saying to Krishna, I don't tell lies, he says. Because Krishna, he is senior to Krishna by age. He is senior to Krishna by age. So Krishna was finding it difficult to say to Yudhishthira that to get the war, to win the war, you have to tell this lie. Otherwise it was difficult to fight with Drona. Drona was too powerful and you won't win. So all that story of Ashwatthama and everything, you can see how it happened, isn't it? So again Arjuna, Krishna had to use that in favorably to him. So Krishna is saying here that that Dhrishtarashtra's problem was, I am well educated in Dharma Shastram. I know Dharma. Nobody need to tell me. This was Yudhishthira's mood. So that is Dambham. And Arjuna, Krishna had to get over that. To think that, I know Dharmam. Yudhishthira always believed in that. I will all never deviate from the path of Dharmam. This was Yudhishthira's fixed state, isn't it? So, you can see that that pride, and that is why he is saying here, also you can see Adhimanascha. Adhimanascha means that Abhimanam, from I am educated, that pride inside, Abhimanam. So he says here, Dambo Adhimanascha. Adhimanascha means Adhimanaha Purvoktaha Krodhaja Parishyam Evaja Parishavachanam. So, and sometimes people have, I have very big connections in this world. There will be a lot of people whom I am connected with. They'll come to my anytime and I need it. So there's no that contacts, they call it, isn't it? So I have so many contacts in this world, they say like that. And all I have to do is to make a call. Everything is sorted. There are people like that. They believe in their phone call and their connections, in other words. So, in the past also, the kings were like that, all of them. They will ask the question, who's there? They will say. And then somebody will come and they will talk that this is what I want, and they will get done like that. So, in the Devi Mahalpim, it says here, one king says, Janagan says there, when the people are saluted there, that one king says there, in that, Surada Samadhir Nama Suradhanam Samadhim Sambadam. He says there that when people were saluting the king thought they are saluting me. And they moved him and put another king there, but the people were saluting him at that time. So, this Dambham creates this Darpam, and Darpam fails when you see that people are respecting somebody else apart from you as well. So you can see in the among the emperors who ruled, Mughals particularly, for example, most of them finished their life in the prison. You know that Aurangzeb, Shah Jahan, Jahangir, many of them, They died in the prison. Who put them in the prison? Their own sons. Their own sons have put them in the prisons. And because the son started feeling that I am also getting old, when will I get the throne? They also couldn't wait anymore, isn't it? And father is not dying. So what do you do then? So the next choice is, that they put them in the prison. So that is Darpam. That is Darpam. So Darpam is like Dambham, is a Asurik Vasana. Like Darpam, Dambham, it is a Asurik Vasana. And it's like a drug. It's like a drug. And it's more powerful than other drugs. You can see this ganja and all that, it will only destroy your body. But this will destroy your whole life. This Darpam will destroy the whole life. So, this Darpam, what you find mostly in the politicians and in these businessmen, big, rich, wealthy people, you find this in them, this Darpam. Very rarely you find without that. They will put a subtle coating on that and present themselves as humble, but in reality that Darpam is very strong inside. It is an addiction also, and desire for positions and recognition in this world. And the same thing comes to spiritual life also. In Adhyalpam also, this Darpam comes. So, Dambham, you can see in the Bhagavadam, Paundraga Vasudeva story. If you look, you will see there. After seeing Krishna, He decided that I should become like Krishna. What's wrong with me? He says. Isn't it? What happened to Paundraga Vasudev? You know, in the Bhagavadam. So, when he says there that Paundraga Vasudev said, Krishna's name is Vasudev, my name is also Vasudev. He says, Pauntraka, and he belonged to this Pauntraka kingdom. So in the Rukmini Swayamvaram, in the Rukmini's marriage time, when Krishna stole Rukmini and was taking Rukmini away, everybody knew that Krishna is doing that. So in order that Krishna doesn't steal Rukmini and take her away, Jarasandha came there with a huge army to help his friend Rukmini's brother. And at that time, one person went to this Pauntraka Vasudeva also and told him that there is a possibility that Krishna may steal Rukmini during the marriage. And therefore you should help Shishupal, he says to this Pauntraka Vasudeva. Pauntraka says to him that when I am there, I don't think he will be able to do that, to take Rukmini away from here. I will not allow that to happen, he says. So like this, he spoke all these big, big things and he went from there. And right in under their nose, Krishna did this, stole Rukmini from them. And right in front of all of them, when all of them were looking at Rukmini, Krishna took Rukmini away from them. They couldn't do anything about it. So Bhagavatam, it mentions like this, that when this happened, Pauntraka Vasudeva got very depressed. And then he, for some time, he was in a very very miserable state. He couldn't continue his administration, even his kingdom, small kingdom what he had, he couldn't administer there. And the mind was very depressed because he took this vow that he will stop Krishna from taking Rukmini away. And right under his face, and he couldn't look at anyone after that, after this incident happened. And he mentions like that, that how did this happen when we, because Pauntraka Vasudeva used to think about himself, Jarasandha, Shishupala, Rukmini and all that, Purushakesari. Purushakesari means lion among the men. That is what they used to think about themselves. So when they were all present, how could Krishna do this? And they used to think about Krishna as just a cowherd boy, isn't it, who do this. So when this happened, he could not continue his administration anymore. He was finding it very difficult. Then the ministers who were with him, they started realizing the problem that if the king becomes depressed, what can you do? The whole kingdom will be in serious trouble, isn't it? So for many days, the ministers tried to advise him not to worry about it and to leave it behind, but he couldn't because of the from inside. Ultimately, he says there that one minister found out this method, how to bring him back to his normal state. He realized that we will together glorify him, all of us together, a few of his ministers together. Not the ordinary way of glorification, but in a big way, started telling him, he is not Krishna, you are the Krishna, real Vasudeva. You are the real Vasudeva. And he has become popular because everybody is saying that he is a divine person, incarnation and things like that. Actually, and that is how he has become. But we will make this propaganda about you, that you are the real one, he is a fake one. We'll do that. And in that way, our king is a real incarnation, absolute truth. And they started this with him. And when they started him, initially it didn't work. But after a few days he started thinking himself, am I? It will happen. It always happens in this world, you can see. All you have to do, a few people have to get around and started glorifying you. You are somebody which you are not. And you will start thinking after a while, I got all that, what they are saying. Somebody says to you, you are the pure devotee. And I can see there is an effulgence coming from your face. And the way you walk, the way you speak, the way you sing, I can see that potency in you. 10 days, if you 3-4 people start telling you, you will start feeling that. It will happen. That's the way it works. That is this dharpa inside. That's what he's saying here. So they all decided together that he is intelligent, this Pauntraka Vasudeva, but doesn't care. We won't directly glorify him. Instead, what they did was they told everybody else except him first. And people started coming to the palace to see the real Vasudeva who is staying there. And after 50-60 people started coming, and more people started coming at that time, and they all wanted to see him, and they started paying obeisances to him, because they made the propaganda among the public first, isn't it? So it kept on increasing, 50, 100, 1,000, it has become like that. So the whole society became accepting him, started accepting him as Vasudeva, and he has become like that. It is after that Paundraga Vasudeva sent a message to Krishna to surrender Dwaraka straight away, and sent all this. What can you do? This is the way the mind works, isn't it? So he says to them that our Vasudeva, Paundraga Vasudeva, is the real one. The other one who is living in Dwaraka is only dressed up one, fake one, he says. So when they made this propaganda, little by little, people came over and they started worshipping him. And initially, Paundraga Vasudeva did not understand what is going on. It was kept it like that, in that way. And the ministers also, they were telling the king that we don't know what's happening, but I think people are feeling that you have something special offer. So, you are the incarnation, they are saying like that. People are saying like this, what can we do? And they also started singing the same song. And little by little, the king started becoming serious. He couldn't joke anymore, because he is Vasudeva now, isn't it? So, with this, what happened was, that insult he experienced in Rukmini's marriage, what happened to him, he has forgotten that. This is the mind. When all these people started speaking like this about him, that insult what happened to him during Rukmini's marriage, when Krishna stole Rukmini away, that is gone from him, from his mind. And after that, what he did was, so he says to them that he brought his crown back and put back on his head. And then he started thinking that there he exhibited four-handed form. Who? Krishna. In few places in the Bhagavatam, Krishna has exhibited four-handed form. Draupadyascha Chaturbhuja, he says there in the first canto. So three or four places he has exhibited this four-handed form. So he also felt that I should have that four hands. And with that, he got another extra two hands made with the wood and started dressing up like that. And certain instances, if he wants to show his four hands, the four hands will be there. Then the other thing, Shri Valsam, Kaustubham, all other Krishna's markings he wanted, and he organized all that. And like in a drama troupe, you arrange all your costumes, isn't it? In the same way, all it has come. And one way, he was remembering Krishna in that way. You see? One way, he was remembering Krishna. You see, Krishna's compassion, mercy. One who imitated Krishna, Krishna says, you should also go to the spiritual world because you have imitated me for that. And that is why he was fortunate to get killed by Krishna himself. And he went back to the spiritual world, isn't it? He has not done any sadhana, has he? What sadhana has Paundraga Vasudeva did? Nothing. But even though he had darpam in him, and falsely he identified with Krishna in that way, in spite of all that, he got back to the spiritual world. He got back to the spiritual world. That is his madness he was, but still he was in a mad situation, but his ministers have helped him to go back. And often people used to come to visit him, and our Paundraga Vasudeva used to say like this, that my real disc is lying with that Vasudeva in Dwaraka. He has not handed it over back to me. He has taken from me. And when he sent the message to Krishna, he said, when are you going to surrender that disc to me? That was the message to Krishna. So, when I am here, why you keep that Sudarshanam with you? Why you don't surrender it to me? He said. So, when the message arrived in Dwaraka, Krishna smiled. Krishna smiled. Said, he says there that I'm going there and I want to hand over the disc to you, along with the carrier also, Garuda, also to you. And he threw the disc, and that was end of it. Sorry. So this story of this Paundraga Vasudev is the story of Dambham. Dambham inside, how it destroyed him, isn't it? So it is very easy to get addicted with this drug, with this drug. It's a kind of madness, isn't it? Dambham dharpam. That means to think that I am something which I am not. Somebody, some way or the other, some idea gets in that I am something which I am not. So similarly, you can see so many incarnations, they say I am this. Some people are saying I am Kalki coming up, Kalki incarnation and all that. So, people have all these different kinds of dambham and darpam inside. So in order that this dambham doesn't get in, occasionally we should go with ordinary people and associate with them. It's necessary not to keep away from the people and always mix with people in a normal level so that this dambham doesn't get inside. Otherwise it is a disease. Dambham, darpam, abhimanascha. All three are the same. Krishna mentions that. Dambham, darpam, abhimanascha. All three in reality, it is the one and the same thing. Only thing is, it is changes its color in different ways. Abhimanam, natimanam. Adhimana means opposite to natimanita. Krishna mentioned in the third verse, he said natimanita, he says, isn't it? The opposite of that is adhimanita, adhimanascha. So, that means thinking about oneself that I am something more than what I am, more than what I am. Or giving more importance to oneself or value to oneself, or giving that value what one does not have, what one does not have. Adhimanida. And expecting that everybody else has to respect me, accept me and worship me and this kind of thing. And no matter how many people respect you, there will be always somebody who may not respect you in this world, isn't it? So it is not possible to make everyone to respect you. This has happened to many people in spiritual life. Because of abhimanam and this atimanam, dambham, darpam, that they started thinking themselves what actually they are not. And they are expecting respect from the others. This has happened to many leaders particularly. This has happened, unfortunately. They didn't know about it. And then they were living in their own world. And when everything fell down, the whole thing collapsed, they've come to the real world and started seeing that they are not different from others. All the same vasanas, weaknesses and all kinds of shortcomings were there in them as well. In them as well. So to recognize that is important, not to get tricked by Maya in that way. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Dambham, darpam, adhimanam. All three are one and the same, but they come in different forms in us. And it is not possible. So you can see this even among the, even coming to spiritual life, this problem doesn't go away. For example, you can see, including Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu cannot expect this. Those who are worshipping Lord Shiva, they won't worship Vishnu. And those who are worshipping Lord Vishnu, they won't worship Lord Shiva. So even in their level, it is not possible to make it everybody to worship. If they cannot be done, where's the possibility that it can happen in the human body, isn't it? So sometimes Vaishnavas will say, even if the elephant put us into trouble, we won't get into the Shiva's temples, they will say. So once it so happened that a Vaishnava who was very staunch in his Vaishnavism, that an elephant chased him. So ultimately the only place you could find shelter was in a Shiva temple. It happened to be that he's right in front of a Shiva temple. So he turned around to the elephant and says to the elephant, Hasina dadhyamanobi na gachedi shivalayam. He says, I will not go inside. You can kill me if you like, but I will not go inside. So you can see that this dambham and darpam adhimanita, he says, so once it comes, then you have got all these kind of problems along with that. Similarly, Shiva's devotees, it's equally the other way also. They won't go to Vishnu's temples. They will not accept. They'll say Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
They'll stick to that. And Vishnu's devotees say Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We won't accept anything else. So, if you want both of them to accept each other, that's impossible. It will not happen. And so therefore you can see that everybody to worship one person is very difficult. It will not happen. That is Adhimanam. Adhimanam, Krishna says here, it will not happen. And Loga Vasana, Krishna is saying, Dambam Darpam Adhimanam. And he calls it as Shastra Vasana or Deha Vasana or Loga Vasana. All three are related to that. So, Dambam Darpam Abhimanam, that creates this. Through Shastram it can come, through Deham it can come, through Logam it can come. Loga means through the world you can have it, through Shastram it can happen, and through Deham it can happen. Dambam Darpobhimanascha, Krodham Parushyam Evaja, Ajnanam Chabijadasya, Partha Sampadam Asurim. All these are asuric nature, Krishna is saying. So we'll stop there. Today we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.